Riders, Rangers, and Rebels, Season 2. Sugarman Shinobi is the legendary underground toy dealer. Dawson Rider is Awesome Rider. And Jedimon is sleeping.
Hello and welcome to RR Season 2, Episode 5.
Brotos before Hotos.
That's what we went with?
Yep.
Yes.
Perfect title for all things awesome.
Brian gave me several things earlier. We went with that out of all of those?
Yep. That was the cool one I couldn't think of last night.
Oh. Well, it's good. No, I enjoy that. Brotos before Hotos. I wasn't briefed on the title before we started recording.
I'll just have to figure out how to spell Hotos.
Just like Broto, but with an H and no R.
Okay.
It's like H-O-T-O-U-S.
Yeah. H, yeah.
Hoto, okay.
Okay,
anyway. Short story shorter.
Excuse me?
We have no news currently for this episode, so...
So no nudes.
We are going to dedicate the entire beginning of this podcast to E3, because E3 is important.
It's E3 2011, not live with RR.
And I'm wearing pants today, so that's good.
I'm wearing a bow in my hair and it's pink, because Brian's brain didn't want it.
The licensing expo is starting, I think, today, Tuesday. I don't remember, I don't know.
Will Smurfette be there?
Maybe.
But I got my lotion ready.
Anyway, Saban's supposed to be making, like, announcements and shit about PR, so...
He's going to touch me.
If it's anything awesome and important, we'll squeeze it in between E3 and the summary.
Or something good enough to make fun of.
Touch me.
That too.
Like, oh, look, we're going to hire our own writers and actually write stuff.
Or they're going to start paying TV Nihon instead.
Alright, so, moving on.
Fire Kevin, that'd be awesome. Not you, the other one. Totally killed your segue.
Technically, they're all fired because the show ended.
Yes! Makes me feel good.
Anyway, moving along to the one-ups. Should I start, or...?
Yeah, go ahead, do it for it.
Okay. So let's see. Last week was Infamous, so I've been playing that. I beat it on Hero mode. So now I have to beat it on Infamous mode. Fantastic game. Fantastic game, man. You haven't played the first one, you need to play it now.
Man.
You'll get it eventually, I swear. But seriously, if you played the first one and haven't played Infamous 2 yet, do. If you haven't played the first one, do that too.
Play both of them now.
Fantastic series. But that's been going on, and then Saturday I got my Oki box, which consisted of Capsule Metal Set 5, Capsule Metal Set 6, Figure Arts Cyclone Gold Joker Extreme, Skull Crystal, Figure Arts Zero Terror, Figma Blank Knight, and D Arts Black War Greymon.
Still going.
So, alright.
That was. Oh, and the Shinken Blue Key. That thing. I still haven't got that. That was in that box, too.
Isn't it cool? It's all blue.
He's all Kevin. Anyway, and then today, Monday, my HLJ box finally got here, which consisted of Figure Arts Garo, which is awesome. He is awesome. I love him. The Gosei Ten Sword, which is actually pretty cool. And the Metagelliver, which is also actually pretty decent. I was pleasantly surprised by both of them. Then my Gokai Cell, my Gokai Spirit, two vinyls, and Shadow Moon should be here tomorrow. And then, lastly, I have a Mandarake box coming with the O's 2-pack, whatever the hell was in that one. Takatori? Takatorata and Takakiribai, I think.
There we go. Takatori Dustin and Takatori Shane.
So, yeah, that's it, really.
Okay. Cool. I'll go really quick since Kevin will probably be long. Oh, God.
That's what she said.
I haven't gotten any boxes this week. I'm waiting on my Oki box to ship. It'll ship on the 16th. And it has a lot of that stuff Brian had, minus a few things. And my AmiAmi stuff just shipped yesterday with the cell and shit. But I didn't really buy anything else except for my Transformers. Laserbeak, who's really neat, and Mudflap, who was just downright adorable and awesome. And that's it. Oh, I've been playing Infamous like crazy, because it's awesome. I like electrocuting people. Meh.
Meh.
Come on, meh. Just get the game, meh.
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 Also, give me invented cheesecake.
Well, that's cool.
I'm done.
Okay, well, I received my boxes from the HLJs, and it is pretty cool because it had a Gosei Tensword and it had a the Meta Jalaber, and by the time this goes up, my vlog with that should go up, so this is not a secret anymore. I got very excited to notice that our Tensword had the little sticker for this is the first release on it, so you get 5 cards instead of 1. Lols.
I know. That was awesome. Like, this thing sold so shitty that we're buying it almost a year later and it still has first release bonuses in it.
I know. I got so excited. I was about to, like, start crying in the middle of the vlog because I was just so happy.
Well, geez, the llama was not supposed to stop everything.
Didn't you say hold on a minute?
I said llama.
Oh, he said hold on a minute.
Everyone just stopped. I'm like, whoa, sorry.
And my, as of recording this, my Gokai Cellular and Spear should be here soon. By the time this goes up, I'll have it and be all happy face. And I actually think that's about it. I got my capsule metal set, whatever we're on, 6, 12, I don't know anymore, 35. They just keep putting them out. And, they're shiny and cool, especially those two-toned ones. Right, Brian?
Yeah.
Aren't those awesome?
That's how all of the double ones should have been.
I know, right? But, yeah. Other than that, I don't... Anything else? We haven't bought anything. No, I think that's pretty much it. So, that's about all.
That they went through a decent stock of their 10 swords.
So we all got goosing cellulars.
We did. We did. You know, we should tell that story right quick since we have a little bit of time.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, apparently, from what I understand, KO noticed, hey, look, our favorite store has put up, activated Gokai Cellulars and Spears.
Yeah, I was just sitting there minding my own business and I got a message that just said go, and I knew exactly what he meant.
Which is fantastic.
And I went.
One word. And then, so he apparently these two decided they were going to go ahead and buy theirs and then wait till they were done to be like, does Kevin need these things? I don't know. Is he alive? Kevin who? I don't think Nick G wants this stuff. And then I get a text message from Dawson that says Goosing Cellular or something. Goosing Cellular Go. And I'm like, is he trying to be stupid? I knew what he meant, but I'm like, what? I actually paused for a second. And then, when I texted this, I was at a lady friend's house. We were laying on the sofa. She was trying to go to sleep. So I had my arm around her. She was laying on my arm. I was like, get up.
just push yanked. On the floor.
Well, she was laying on that. I was laying closer to the floor. So I had to, like, yank my arm out from under her. I reach over so I could pull out my computer with both hands. I open it up. I get to AmiAmi. I refresh the Sentai page, and I get that, like, error message, some kind of, like, proxy error or something, right? I proxy attack them again. And so I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? And I keep, like, refreshing, and I'm getting angry, and I'm scared. And then I remembered, wait a minute, I have both items open in tabs, stupid. And I refresh the tabs, put them in carts, and quickly buy them before they go out of stock, and then I was all happy face. And then I text him back, and I'm like, yay, I got one. And he's like, yeah, we all have goosing cellulars. And I'm like, why does he keep saying this?
The second time it was on purpose.
I'm like, what do geese have to do with this?
Do they say fly around and go,
It was quite humorous. And then she was slightly upset with me. That's okay. You have to move. I need to buy things right now.
She'll get over it.
This is a goosing cellular.
Yeah, well, she got over about 5 minutes later when she went back to sleep, so it was okay. Probably has no memory of it, so it's all good. But it was hilarious. You need to move out my way. I need to buy shit. Do you have a computer? Now.
Do you have a computer I use? Can't even say it. I'm just picturing it. I think it's so funny.
Oh, wow. They ran out of metagelibers.
Oh, well, Dawson, can't have your favorite weapon ever.
Rats.
God, let's just go.
Okay, so E3.
I'm Kevin Ferreira.
E3.
Brian is Morgan Webb.
3D.
And Kevin is Candace Bailey.
Why am I a girl?
Brian's a girl, too.
Okay, I'm Morgan Webb, apparently. That's like...
I don't have a vagina.
Multiple fails in a row.
Anymore?
What?
What?
Hello?
Hello. How are you?
Oh, God, we're so...
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hi, I'm Ninji. Oh.
Oh, yeah, so,
I respond with bad acting.
I have no idea how to do this because we didn't talk about it before we started recording. As normal.
We could just go in order of press conferences that came out.
So we'll do the big three first, and then
we'll do the best for last.
Oh. Honestly, I skipped EA because swimming was a better idea to me. And Ubisoft was a very mediocre conference outside of like Assassin's Creed and...
I didn't watch either of them.
Dawson decided to swim too. Oh, wait.
What did Ubisoft show? It was Assassin's Creed, and there was one other game that was interesting.
Ghost Recon?
Laser Tag? Oh.
Yeah, they invented Laser Tag. I don't remember what it was. It was Sly 4. It was Sly 4.
Why would they show Sly 4?
No, it wasn't. That was the Sony conference. Fucking God. I don't remember.
Poor God. Well, let's just skip those
okay,
two.
Okay, Microsoft.
I don't even felt a God.
For Hibiki.
Microsoft.
Microsoft sucked ass this year.
Microsoft went soft.
But I think my favorite, like the most hardcore game at all, the whole show was there though. Sesame Street.
Absolutely.
Yes! I am Big Bird!
I am Big Bird, you fuck!
Brian dies laughing. Cuts off oxygen, needs oxygen pills.
But seriously, the Microsoft...
Oxygen pills?
How does that even work? I was thinking about that.
I don't know. Well, you needed some kind of medicine the last time. Like, we made you laugh so bad that you stopped breathing. And your brain was like, get him pills. I don't know.
Anyway.
Breathe into the pills and then close them up. I don't know. Let's just go on.
I mean, if there was a clear-cut loser of this E3, it was Microsoft.
It was awesome. Oh.
Hey, now.
You're
an all-star.
Damn it. I'm mine.
Okay, like, Microsoft's entire conference was Kinect, 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 Halo Anniversary, Kinect, 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 Halo 4.
And a little bit of Modern Warfare 3, which is basically Modern Warfare 2 with 3 after.
I missed the beginning of it, so I didn't see that part.
I just saw, like, I skimmed over it when I re-ran because I was one of the ones I couldn't watch, but it was awful. It was exactly what people complained Nintendo's being like for years, was just casual game after casual game. And it was so awful, and they brought in stupid Microsoft actors that suck and, like, kids that I want to punch.
Like, I understand that lately E3 has been mostly about, like, the stockholders and the press and stuff. But seriously, you showcase Disneyland and Sesame Street?
Oh, that angered me. They're like, get the monster. I was like, punch that kid now. Use Kinect and punch him.
And then, like, that one, the girl was like, They were playing this game that was like the Peter Pan ride, except there wasn't a ride, it was like actual Peter Pan, which confused the fuck out of me. But you hold your arms out like you're a plane, you're like, yeah, but like you have to just go back and forth, and so the little boy is like going right, left, right, left, right, left, like he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. His character isn't doing that, so it's pretty much 90% confirmed that it's a video.
Yeah, just like Konami's. Pinocchio refused to give up. I think we need Konami 2010 press conference shirts in the store now.
Yeah. Very, very exercise. But, and like the little girl's like, oh, get the coin, get the coin. And then like the little boy missed the coin because it was a video. And it was like, oh, we'll get it next time. I'm like, there won't be a next time, bitch.
But, this kid's going to get killed right after this. Just like when you get eliminated from American Idol, you're executed right afterwards. That's what they act like.
And then the worst part, Keith would kill me if I didn't mention this. Right when they were done, they felt so proud of themselves. They're like, fist bump! And then they fist bumped, and then everyone died.
Fist bump!
Kind of like that. It sounded pretty similar, too. And, I mean, the Sesame Street game, like, I mean, it's stupid as hell because it's Sesame Street. But, I mean, it had decent Kinect functionality, and I understand, like, how, like, parents or something might be excited for it. But
for fist bumping?
No, for Sesame Street.
Oh.
I love fisting. Oh, wait, that's something.
But it was just, like, nothing was exciting to me. I mean, I was excited for Halo Anniversary.
That's what he does with GameStop, girl. Oh.
Because
no comment.
I like Halo and stuff. I don't have a 360. I had an original Xbox. So I have to play Halo 1 and Halo 2. So, like, mm-hmm. The Anniversary and stuff was exciting to me, but, like, there just wasn't any content there.
Like, here's two things I want to say about Kinect. Everything. Is the Brian shut up? No, I'm kidding. Okay, I feel like they showed a lot of Kinect. One reason is they were overcompensating for the fact that Kinect launched and then really didn't do anything. And people were like, where are the games? Kind of like they're doing with the 3DS now. But I feel like Microsoft was trying to overcompensate for that to show that there was games. But they've dropped the ball on it so much because when it was first announced, it looked awesome. They're like, you could talk to Skynet and talk about how they're going to rule you someday and John Connor. And they just showed like how awesome it could be for actual gaming. And then they come back.
And you can dance, but then not really dance, and the game still goes on?
That's something different.
Oh.
But they just really dropped the ball on it. And I don't know. Halo 4, I don't know. I'm going to hold out any excitement because I don't know how 343 is going to do with it. But at least it's not every year like Call of Duty. That's getting old now.
Duty.
Oh, he already said duty. That was the joke of the cast.
I mean, to put it simply, I'm not a fan of Microsoft, so I can't really say too much.
They're micro and soft.
I don't have a 360, and that's all I got, and I don't even own any PCs. All of my computers are Mac, so I'm not a Microsoft fan by any means. And I just
Bill Gates could suck it. Oh.
Even putting bias aside, I think their conference was terrible.
It was. It was just they really needed to do something different.
It was actually delivered by a fourth grader. So that was,
and like Tim Schafer, I didn't even know he like co-made that Sesame Street game. I thought he was cool until now. He made Psychonauts. That game was cool. And Brutal Legend was semi-cool just because Jack Black was in it, but I never played it. But it just seemed like such an odd thing for him to be involved with. Disgusting. Making games for children. What does this world come to? They're supposed to make it for our generation, then we grow up, and then they say, fuck kids. That's what they're supposed to say.
I see.
And then they're dumb Microsoft actors. Oh, we can scan Dieter into this thing, and it's like a pillow with a face. I'm like, why is she acting so horrible? Is she part of the Samurai cast?
I think some of the Samurai cast acted better than the Microsoft people.
At least she can hide her Kiwi accent. Oh.
Okay, so moving along from Microsoft, since none of us liked it. Sony, the clear... Sony's in a position where if you're big on Sony and hated Nintendo, you would probably think that Sony won. But, I disagree because I like Nintendo more than Sony. But, I mean, Sony's conference...
Oh, really?
You'd have never guessed. But Sony's conference didn't suck. I think it just lacked a lot of excitement, I guess.
That's the thing about, with exception of a few things, compared to past E3s, the entire conference in general didn't have a lot of surprises because we knew about like 95% of everything.
Yeah.
And Sony's was like the perfect example of that. Is everything, not everything, but most of the stuff they showed was good and it's going to be awesome, like Uncharted and the PSP Vita looks cool and I don't know, whatever stuff they showed off, it was awesome. But it's going to be good, but we already knew about it. So, like, if they would have waited to show the PSP Vita now, or the PS Vita or whatever, then everyone would be like, oh my god, and their brains would explode. But yeah. We've known about it for, like, a long time.
I mean, they announced all the stuff about Vita when it was the NGP to, like, mentally compete with the 3DS.
Yeah.
And so they started revealing all this stuff about it then.
They wanted
and then,
to mind fuck you.
Basically. And then come E3, they're like, here it is, the PS Vita, or whatever the hell it is. And everyone's like, yay! And it's like, okay, it looks cool, it has good graphics, it's probably going to launch with an Uncharted game, which makes me angry. But, like, we knew most of the specs, we knew the, like, the touchscreen on the back and the touchscreen on the front thing.
And then you could cheat at Uncharted by just clicking where you want to go? Cheaters?
Like, and then Uncharted 3, we knew about that. Sly 4 was hinted at in the little demo thing, not demo thing, the trailer-like thing in the Sly collection. So, I mean, we knew about that. That was really cool to see. But now that, was it Sucker Punch makes Sly?
Yeah, they're not making Sly 4.
Yeah, they're not making Sly 4. So I'm kind of on the fence, but I still think it's going to be good.
I'm surprised with the way Infamous ends and then Sly 4 being out. I thought maybe they're taking a break. Like,
yeah.
That's one thing I like about Insomniac is they've been doing Ratchet and Resistance.
Uh-huh.
They should just keep doing it. And Naughty Dog needs to do another Jack game, because seriously, those people who made Jack and Daxter Lost Frontier should be shot. That game is awful. God, I don't even want to talk about it.
So, I mean,
I'm sorry.
I don't know. Kevin, you can talk while I gather my thoughts.
There's not much I have to say, since I'm not really a Sony fan too much. I don't own a PS3, so... And I never really was like, I need a PSP or anything of that sort. Cool. I don't know. My only thing is that when I look at what these two other the big name, you know, the big console guys did, is it's like,
hey
man,
they saw Leprechaun with Nick saw Leprechaun. Hey man,
it's just like, remember what those guys did, and then we laughed at them. Well, turns out people liked it, so we're gonna do it now too. Except 4 years later, and in a slightly different way, so we can't say we copied them.
They didn't show a lot of move this year, though.
Yeah, like, I was happy for that. Like, there was a couple at the beginning, and I was like, oh, don't let this be move, 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 move. Thankfully, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, it just kind of, it worried me at the beginning, but...
Yeah, they just basically, for the rest of it, just mentioned that, oh, this has move support, and they really didn't say anything else about it.
Yeah. Like, I was glad of that, because I was worried, because, I mean, the move hasn't been doing spectacular.
Yeah, it had, like, a really mediocre launch. Like, I didn't even knew it came out. I just saw it on the shelf one day. I'm like, oh, shit, it's the wand. Is it going to do magic?
The Sony vibrator.
Basically, that's what it is. But, like, I think Kinect was definitely doing better than the Move was. Just like, I mean, the 360 in general is kind of doing better than the PS3, if I remember right. I don't know for sure. I don't really keep track of that, but...
I know it was for the longest time.
So, I mean, I'm not too surprised that they're kind of, like, saying, oh, it has Move support. And they're not, like, superly pushing it just because it hasn't been that big of a commercial success.
Yeah.
So they're just kind of letting it go, showing off and working with what they know will work. As opposed to what Microsoft did and just
shove it down our throats.
Hoard it out. Saying, buy this, it's awesome, look at us, we can act like Peter Pan.
We're going to less little boys? No.
And then Zachary Levi tweeted about it, which was fun. But well, yeah, it was like
boys?
It was just an overall, like, okay conference, because we already knew about almost everything.
Yeah. All right, so anything else about Sony's?
Nopes.
Nopes. So on to the winner in my book, Nintendo.
Wii U.
I've been a Nintendo fan since I was a wee lad of the age of... I was mini Shuki in my mother's womb.
I was
a Nintendo fan.
I don't want that image, ever.
Hey. Anyway.
Hey, you.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. Oh, Nick.
Hey, man.
So, I mean, Nintendo's conference started off pretty nice. One thing I do want to mention about Sony is that it was really awesome of them to kind of, like, take the stage and say, yeah, we fucked up with PSN, we're sorry.
Yeah.
Like, they could have just ignored it, but the fact that they addressed it full front and, like, made jokes about it...
Full frontal!
Was nice that they didn't try to hide the fact that they fucked up big time.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty classy of them.
Yeah, it was... They did a good job of handling it.
So, Nintendo started off with something that heavily interested me, with a lot of, like, Zelda talk. I mean, there wasn't so much news, but the biggest thing to come from it was, like, Skyward Swords are going to release alongside, like, a golden Wii Remote with, like, the Hyrulean logo on it.
It's going to be so golden.
Sparkly.
We had two Samurai references at the same time, folks.
That's that hive mind at work.
For the 25th anniversary, they're doing, like, a Zelda concert series.
I'm almost as old as Zelda. Oh, God.
It's okay. We love you anyway. Which is really cool. Like, I hope there's one fairly close, like, within an hour or two away, because I totally want to go to one of those.
There won't be one near me, and there never is.
I'm sorry.
Hey, man.
They skirt the middle of the country, they dip into Texas a couple of times, and then just go straight through the center. they forget there is a south.
There's a joke there somewhere.
But it died, like, missing Justin Bieber.
Yep. So, I mean, that's cool, and they announced that people who register Ocarina of Time 3D on their Club Nintendo accounts will get a soundtrack for the game.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that part. I was having issues with my computer.
Yeah.
At work.
So, if you want a soundtrack, hurry up and register on Sunday when it comes out. I don't know how long those are going to last, because it says, while supplies last, or whatever. There's going to be a soundtrack for the concert series, I think they said.
Yeah.
Released at some point somewhere. I don't know where. But
it's going to be released in Namibia.
So that'll be cool. And then they showed off, like, a reel of Skyward Sword and stuff. Nothing really too new. Like, that was the thing about the beginning of Nintendo's conference, because there wasn't too much that was new. They showed a slideshow of Mario Kart 3D, Star Fox 64 3D, the Super Mario 3D game that they're working on.
Kid Icarus.
Kid Icarus, again, but it was a longer, better look at it. And then the one surprise that they did have, which totally had Jeff up in arms because he loves this game, Luigi's Mansion 2 was announced for the 3DS, which made me happy because I loved Luigi's Mansion. I played it, like, three times when it came out, and then a couple times after the fact. So I've played it probably about six or seven times.
Sheiks.
And I love Luigi's Mansion, and I'm kind of disappointed, even given the Wii's, like, pointer controls, that there hasn't been a Luigi's Mansion 2 yet. And so I'm finally happy that it exists.
It seems like it would have been good for the Wii's motion controls.
Yeah. Like a missed opportunity.
Yeah, like, I wasn't ever, I don't know, I have Luigi's Mansion, I got it when the GameCube came out. I always had trouble with it for some reason, I really don't know why. I don't know if it was just me being retarded, or what, probably me being retarded.
Probably.
But I am quite excited about that second one. It seems really fun, and plus they say it'll have, like, it's like a multiple mansions kind of thing as opposed to...
Yeah.
As opposed to just, okay, it's one mansion and you explore. So I guess they'll just be, instead of having, like, you know, what, four floors or whatever for one mansion, they might have, like, I guess two and do several mansions. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to work.
It'll be fun. I know.
That was fun.
Just some, like, cool things that they pointed out in the other games. Like, Mario Kart's going to have, like, fully customizable carts, which is pretty cool.
So, and hurricanes or gliders.
Yeah, and features submarines and hang gliders. Or rather, your cart turns into a submarine or hang glider, depending on where you land.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which was kind of cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Their surprise for Star Fox 3D was the fact that the cameras turn on when you're in multiplayer, so you can see the reactions in real time.
Okay, that was badass.
Yeah, that's going to be horrible and awesome at the same time. Horrible because it's probably going to be choppy as fuck, so the real time's thrown out the window. But hilarious, just because these people are going to be playing. But I mean, I just made fun of half the world. Oh, I'm sorry. whatever. Kid Icarus is going to have full voice acting. It sounded pretty cool. There'll be a multiplayer mode, and then this,
the gameplay looked awesome.
This thing with cards, and you can use them for battles or something. I have a Pokemon. I don't know.
Pit, he's the king of games.
I don't know, but it looked really, really awesome. No release date for that yet.
Kid Icarus equals beautiful.
Star Fox comes out in September. Mario Kart comes out this holiday. Don't know which holiday, huh?
Bulls. July.
And Super 4th. Mario 3D is coming out before the year is over.
Tanuki suit!
So December 31st at 11:59.
If I had to guess, I'd probably say around November. That's when Galaxy 2 came out, I believe.
Yeah, probably.
Most of it was inspired by Super Mario Bros. 3. Like, the Koopa Kids are back. The Tanuki suit's back in.
Tanuki suit!
A lot of the 3D platforming reminded me of a couple of levels in Galaxy. So think of, like, Galaxy-like platforming just without the whole gravity-defying spinningness.
Think of Lost Galaxy, but without a plot. Wait, Lost Galaxy didn't have a plot.
Wrong Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, Kevin said with Luigi's Mansion 2, it's the whole new mansions, multiple levels kind of thing, which is pretty neato. And both Kid Icarus and Luigi's Mansion don't have dates yet, but next year, supposedly.
Yeah, they're going to get on Match.com and get some dates.
And the virtual console on the 3DS is going to bring you Game Boy and Game Boy Color games, possibility of Game Boy Advance games at some point.
Pokemon!
And then, like, 3D, old classic NES and Super Nintendo games redone in 3D, supposedly the Excitebike one's out already, for free until the end of the
month. For a limited time.
Limited time, Ori.
Limited.
So, here's
what... Plus that cool Pokédex.
You have to get that if you're a Poke fan. You have to.
A Poke fan. Sorry. Hey, man.
Hey,
I'm
man.
A Poke
hey,
fan. Man.
So, here's what we have to talk about.
Wii U.
The Wii U, which was Project Cafe, which was kind of a silly name to begin with. Then they changed it to an even sillier name with Wii U. But, I'm not even going to explain the name. You can go find it yourself if you care that much. It was something about Wii's togetherness with singling you because you have the window to a different world. I don't know.
Look, I think it's just a Japanese man's poor English, okay?
Wii U!
What's up? Hoopla! Hoopla! Hoopla are games!
Oh,
what are you
wild.
Saying, sir?
You.
Although he messed up less than Reggie did. He's like, do we have the get. And then the. I was like, damn it.
Reggie Hart!
Yes, we know.
He did mess up, though.
So, the Wii U's controller, I can't even say that seriously, has a 6.4, I think it said, inch screen.
Everything, that's everything.
It has a screen in the middle that shows off anything and everything. But everything, it has two joysticks on the front.
They're more like those little slide joystick pads from the 3DS.
They looked a little bit bigger than that to me when I was looking at some side pictures of the controller.
They said it was the same style on IGN because they were talking about how they want regular analog sticks.
Okay, whatever. I don't give a fuck.
Well.
Anyway, I don't. A, B, X, Y buttons, and then the standard like home start select at the bottom, basically the Wii Remote layout. Then two Z buttons and then the R and L buttons as normal. So it's got everything that you need, and then it's a touch screen on the front. I believe it's a touch screen. Yeah,
it should be.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of touch screen. I assume it's a capacitor touch screen.
Kogami!
The kind the iPhone has. I assume that's what it is just because I didn't see any sort of stylus thing for it.
Yeah. It's not like a press screen. I call those other ones press screens.
Press screen, stylus screen, and press screen. Or?
No, stylus screen. I call them press screens because okay. They're not really like touch screens. You just
okay.
Press.
Push screen. That's whatever.
Like, anyway, let's
okay,
just stop.
So, and like one of the features that they showed off was like they were playing a new Super Mario Brothers game, and this guy comes and is like, "Oh, it's time to watch baseball." I'm like, "No, bitch! I'm playing Mario."
Instead of the kid being like, "Fuck you," he's like, "Okay."
You can, with Wii U, you can throw the controller at your friend's head when he's being a dick.
And hit him.
So, He turned the switched the TV to baseball, and then it moved from the TV to the screen on the controller, so he could continue to play his Mario game while asshole friend watched baseball. Not that I hate baseball; I love baseball. It's probably my favorite sport. But just saying, you don't interrupt Mario for baseball. But anyway, and it used as a drawing tablet, so there is a stylus involved.
Oh, it's
a drawing tablet. Derp. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you can use it as a drawing tablet for whatever.
Just doodling shit.
You can play.
You want
to send
a picture of penis to your friends?
Like you can play. You can play solitaire.
And what I'm doing.
And go and stuff like that. Secondary screen is probably the biggest thing. Like they showed a golf game where they're basically playing Wii Sports Golf, but you could look down and see the ball on the ground.
I want to see balls on the ground with you.
They're making a new zapper unit. That sounded so bad. Making a new zapper unit that can set the controller on it and act as a new zoom screen and crosshairs and stuff. Chatting, kind of like FaceTime on the Mac and the iPhone. Or Skype if you're one-to-one. Browsing the net, you could flip photos from it onto the TV screen. So you can, do little photo presentations or whatever. I don't know. And then, obviously, the biggest help of this is that it can act as an inventory system. So instead of cluttering the main screen with, a control map, Zelda, for instance, with, your life bar, your magic bar.
They said in the demo of whatever Zelda, HD, I don't know if it was Skyward Sword or whatever they had on there, but they said that it was their inventory. You could switch weapons and shit from there, not just, the health bars, which is really nice practical application.
So, you have your entire inventory listed there, and you're like, oh, and you switch to the bow. You just tap the bow, and there, you got your bow. So that alone is it would be so much quicker for games just to go tap, and then, bam, you have the weapon that you want instead of having to hit start, scrolling through it, clicking it, and then, okay, now you're back to the game. You never actually have to, leave the game.
It's awesome. We just never have to go anywhere ever.
And then just the whole thing, it makes everything look so much prettier. Because your screen isn't cluttered up with anything anymore. It's just bam, all the action is right on the screen. Everything else right here on the controller.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a 1080p.
Yeah, so the system has full 1080p.
That's one thing that's funny is that Sony and Microsoft are lol, look at those idiots for their touch controls. And Nintendo's lol, look at the idiots for their HDs. And they both fucked up. Because I remember their conference when they announced it, they're like, HD's not going to take off. 4 months later, HD takes off. They're like, fuck!
So basically now Microsoft and Sony have their motion controls and Nintendo's got their HD. So now basically everyone is the same goddamn blob.
The same person. Like us, we're just a giant blob that's with RR on it with three heads.
Some cool things I said, they haven't started making it yet, but they're talking about developing Smash Bros. For the 3DS and the Wii U that can work together. There was a couple games that they announced that they're making for it. A lot of the footage that they showed was from PS3 and 360 games, because they haven't really done too much development for the system yet. But you got Darksiders, Tekken, Batman, Assassin's
Creed, Batman!
Ghost Recon, Dirt.
Dirt.
An Aliens game, Ninja Gaiden 3.
I don't know if that was the game, but you can throw the Ninja Star with the second screen. That was cool.
That was actually just a pure tech demo, but it was just something that
was super
that's possible for something with Ninja Gaiden.
It was pretty cool looking. It made me happy in pants.
So, everything there was all basically just demonstrations on what you can use the controller for. They were basically using Wii-style graphics. So, they don't look at the tech demos and say, oh, this system's going to blow. Look at the graphics. They aren't improved at all. This sucks. Just give it time. We know nothing about this yet. I think it was kind of a weird choice to announce it right this second, considering it's not coming out until after E3, maybe not after E3 next year.
Know, though.
But, it was kind of, a little bit too soon to announce it, but I think it kind of works in their favor as well, just because the other ones didn't have that great of a conference.
Yeah, they didn't have anything really new.
So launching this new system with full 1080p with a controller that has a screen, a camera, a microphone, the accelerometer, everything that you would ever possibly need.
Although it feels like they kind of have to, because they're at the point kind of like at the end of any console cycle. Nintendo does it more often, is that when they're getting ready for the new console, they kind of give up on the last one, and like Skyward Sword's like the real last real game that's really coming out for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't really have anything else to show if they just waited, because they just kind of give up on it now.
Yeah, I still have a little bit of faith that we'll be able to see this. Sorry about that. Wow. There we go.
You should be, you unprofessional twit. Just kidding.
I still have faith that we'll be able to see this and own it by E3 of next year. I think a lot of our information on this will come in during Tokyo Game Show, which is in August or September, I think.
That's what happened with Wii. They just showed us the box, and then Tokyo Game Show, they showed us the controller.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So, I mean, I think this was just to try to get, like, stockholders, investors going, which didn't work because stocks actually dropped dramatically after they announced this.
Yeah, I heard about
that. But same thing happened with the Wii, and look at what happened with that. So, I mean, you don't really listen to the stockholders too much in terms of how things are going to work. I mean, at this point, it's up to the people that buy it, really. But, I mean, I think that as long as it's priced right...
Price is wrong, bitch.
As long
hate
as
that, Bob Barker.
Under $300, I think they can easily pull this off. Because you have everyone that already owns all their Wii remotes, all of their nunchucks, all the classic controllers, the zappers, the steering wheels, anything else that goes with the system. All they're doing is basically getting a new box.
Yeah,
that has
kind of like
cool
upgrading your cable
HD
box.
Graphics.
And you get a little. Touchpad.
The thing about it is I don't see them doing any kind of pricing all that much higher than the Wii was.
Yeah, like I think the most they would probably go is $300, just because you do have to factor in the fact that this controller, while right now supposedly there's only one Wii U controller per console, so you're not going to have to buy any more than one of these things.
And then there's just silence.
And then there's silence.
No, I'm just taking that in because, I mean, because those things are going to cost like an arm and a fucking leg.
That's probably exactly why they did what they did. That you for whatever games that you're using, you only need one of this controller.
An arm and a fucking leg.
So you don't
leg.
Have to pay $100, $150 for the cool touchscreen controller with all the goodies in it.
Goodies.
Because basically their controller is a scaled down, lesser... power to iPad, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's
pretty cool, though.
They can't be cheap, so I think if they can pinpoint this at a $300 price point, I think they can pull it off really good.
Yeah, they kind of have to, because their competition is PS3 and Wii. I mean, PS3 and 360, and they're cheaper now that it's later into their life, and I don't see them coming out with the next generation for at least another year or two.
Yeah. And it would be interesting to see what they do with the 3DS... Outside of that slideshow, there really wasn't too big of a focus on the 3DS. Again, I think we'll see more at Tokyo Game Show. Mm-hmm. But I think the 3DS is going to have a real run for its money as far as the Vita is concerned, only because the Vita's pricing is $250 and then the 3G version is $300.
Yeah.
It's at the same price point as the 3DS, so it's going to come down to whether people want the pretty Vita games or... the 3D Nintendo games, basically.
And, just the games in general. It's going to come down to that.
Yeah.
Because, like, the PSP has better graphics than the DS, but it just doesn't have games. I mean, it's got some games that I like, but it's not enough for me to... Like, my PSP's sitting downstairs in the basement collecting dust because I forgot to bring it up 4 years ago. And my DS is, like, always by my side.
Like, I mean, outside of when Birth by Sleep came out and I was completely whoring my PSP, once I was done with Birth by Sleep, bam, PS3 was gone again.
You mean PSP?
Well, I said PS3, didn't I? I'm sorry.
Well, you probably meant the PS Network. PS Network. It sounds like... I don't PSN's know.
PSN's gone. I don't know.
But, just giving overall thoughts in general. Like you said at the beginning, they pretty much won it because The Wii U was sort of a surprise because we found out what it was, but we knew it was coming.
We knew about Project Cafe and stuff. We heard the rumors about the whole touchscreen control and stuff. But, I mean, for the most part, everything, the whole 1080p, it was safe to assume things like that, but this is Nintendo. They do weird things.
Well, and they had the most, like, even if they weren't surprises, because most of the games they showed either were assumed to be coming out, like Mario, or they were just registered, like, under GameStop, where it'll just say said game Wii or 3DS or whatever. But they had the most new stuff to show off, and hopefully Zelda actually does come out, which it should, since their console's dead.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had the best showing. It wasn't as good as last year's. Like, last year was, like, amazing.
Last year had me in heart attacks, like, every other game that was announced.
Well, yeah that awesome. Last year, like, it was so... I don't know what to do
after last year. Last year, I was like, I need to pre-order, like, 12 games.
Brian and I just sat here like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This year, we're like, lol, Wii U.
Like, I mean, I'm super excited for it. I think it'll be awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
I
saw the controller in action and was like, oh, wow, this is, like, freaking... I mean, the controller in action, it looks fantastic. And the stuff that it does, it was very exciting.
They just have to pull it off right, and then they can do...
Yeah. Well, this is like I was talking about with Brian and other people, is that the problem that we had was that a lot of... The third-party people, when they made games, they just tacked on the motion control instead of actually incorporating it.
Yeah, like, they either did that or they tried too hard to use the potential. Mm-hmm. And, like, I agree with Adam Sessler when he said that it's great if you can come up with something really innovative for the controls you have, but if you can't, it's good to just make a great game that uses something as simple as the menu system, like Zelda. Is that people tried too hard to think about how you can make the game all motiony when you could just simply apply it. It's the same thing when the DS first came out. It's like, I didn't mind that everything wasn't integrating the touchscreen. I just wanted to see nice games with simple applications.
And not only that, but then, like, I understand the Wii is not graphically, competitive with the other two systems, but you don't have to make the game look like it's for a kindergartner. And yeah. I think that was a lot of their problem too, is that, well, since we can't make it look like a PS3 game, we'll just make it look like it was done for a 5-year-old. Like, no. That's completely unnecessary. So now it looks like I'm playing a child's game, even though it's the exact same game the guy down the street has, but on a different system. You don't need to do that.
Hey, man.
So, like, hopefully they'll be able to actually, like, you know, do stuff with the Wii U and incorporate, because it looks like it could do a whole lot. Like, you watch the little watch what our controller can do, and you're like, holy fuck, this is amazing. This is such cool things. I want to play with this now. And you know, and then as far as the 3DS stuff they showed goes, I mean, that was fun. You know, obvious Mario Kart game is obvious. But the new additions is cool, and then Star Fox, which we knew about, and, you know, Kid Icarus we knew about, but they look so pretty.
They didn't give dates to those, because...
I hate when everyone comes
in and makes bold claims, and then they never can follow up.
Yeah.
Like, Zelda, like, this comes out this year, Mass Effect, this comes out in 4 minutes, and then they come back, we fucked up. I'm like, I don't mind that you take your time making the game, I don't mind that at all, I want you to make it great, but just don't come out with your damn bold claims.
And then...
you can't back it up.
Yeah, and then, you know, the Mario, I mean, it looks like another great Mario game. I can't think of a bad Mario game that's come out that's like a, you know, like a platform type game.
Yeah.
So they're bringing back up the Tanuki suit, and, you know, being heavily inspired by Mario Brothers 3, you really can't go wrong there, because that was such an awesome game. Did you mention about Smash Brothers?
Yeah.
Cause I, like, zoned out halfway through your speech.
Because they didn't show anything. They just said, oh, it's coming. It's coming. And they were like, see you.
They said it's coming on both systems and we'll work together. And I'm like, yes. And then I had a giant boner face. And I was like, just don't make it like Brawl, for the love of Christ. Don't put another story mode in there. It's like 8 hours of the same goddamn level interspersed with a movie.
Pretty much.
Like, but yeah. So, I mean, that, you know, and don't sit there and go, we're going to have third-party characters. These two. And then no one else. Like, no, Game & Watch. No, that's not a third-party character. Go fuck yourselves. It's like, thanks, Rick Medina. You're useful for once.
Tiny letters.
and tiny letters in a barrel. I enjoyed the Nintendo conference, and I'm hoping, like we said, that at Tokyo game, whatever the next game show is. I really don't pay attention to names. I just know next game show that we do get to see some actual gameplay and some actual demos of something, and some more specifications on what's going to work, how and with what and whatever else. And again, I do like that you also can use your old stuff, because I seriously, and I mentioned this before to Brian when I first saw this video, the press conference, is that I imagine some guy going, oh, fuck, new system. He just packs all his Wii shit into a box, walks over to, like, the dumpster across the street, and is, like, about to drop it in. So I was like, wait, you can use all your old stuff with it. Like, turns around, drops box. What? Like, because with other people not exactly being the best at backward compatibility, they're like, no, you can use all your old crap with it. All that stuff you bought, you can still use it. It's great. You're like, yay! So that's always a plus, and that's always a good way to get people to buy your new system, is when you tell them that they can use all their old shit with it.
Yeah.
So, that big plus to them for that, and I don't think there's anything else to say too much except Reggie Hart. Making the Akiko little heart hand thing. Except without the dolphin voice and annoying. And he did the dolphin anyway.
Hell yeah, he did.
Thank you, Flipper.
I don't know. Alright, so that wraps...
That's Akiko's ex is Flipper.
That about wraps up our E3-ness.
Flipper saw that she married a human and he killed himself.
If there's any sorts of licensing expo stuff, it'll be right now. Okay, so the licensing expo happened, and all we've got out of it is...
Julius.
Yes.
You killed Julius!
Is he orange?
Oh. Yes, orange.
Oh, that was clever.
I know, right?
We're not even to the real story yet.
Okay. So, starting June 15th, which was 2 days ago, as of this upload, all of PR, MMPR Season 1 through MMPR Season 1.
How's that for a mindfuck?
is available on Netflix to stream, even though that's, like, illegal now or something, I don't know. I'm kidding. About Netflix, anyway. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know. But, so all 18 seasons, I guess, even though it's listed as 1 through 17, and then season 1 repeats itself halfway. And that's the...
here we go again!
The remastered version. So, all of that's up there. It's fairly decent quality. It's not high def or anything, but it's pretty much DVD quality, I think. Maybe a little bit lower than that because it's streaming and stuff, so.
Pretty much.
On top of that, we have both seasons of VR Troopers.
Great.
And both seasons of Beetleborgs.
Yes!
Right! Yes!
Watch the Beetleborg. Now I can just watch that episode and just loop it.
I have to say that, like, this is, it's really nice. Like, I mean, I'd rather have DVD sets, which they're apparently doing.
They're doing it themselves.
Yeah.
They like to do it themselves.
So, according to their Twitter feed and, like, a comment on YouTube or something, they are working on DVDs.
They're working on this one. It's a challenge for us.
Apparently it is. But just, like, I mean, having all 700... I'm not going to count the remastered. That's shit. All 700 episodes, like, basically there anytime you want to is really cool. Along with VR Troopers and Beetleborgs, because I haven't seen either of those two shows since they aired.
I was more excited for Beetleborgs.
I've never seen VR Troopers, so...
Like, I'm looking forward to watching both VR Troopers and Beetleborgs again.
I've never seen the entirety of Beetleborgs. This will be a fun experience.
Possibly.
That was fun.
There was a thought there, and it died.
Poor thought.
I don't know where it went. Probably to hang out with Misty and Justin Bieber. But,
Because they're dead, too.
I have no idea where I was going with that. But, like, it's just really cool to finally have, like, a source, I guess. I don't have to, like, go download them off the internet.
Magical source? Mystic Force?
Yeah. That's on there.
Not those fuckers. I don't want to see that.
And it makes RR in RRR so much easier.
Honestly.
Now I can actually watch them.
Honestly.
Honestly. And then we can do VR Troopers and Beetleborgs when we're done with PR.
I don't want to. I mean, sure. Let's do that.
Yes. I agree. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
That's all we got from Licensing Expo, really, was Netflix and apparently DVDs.
And Julius.
Julius. I don't even know who the fuck Julius is.
Julius is going to be the shit.
I still don't know who Julius is.
Chuck is going to trank him.
Who is Julius? Man, that was great.
Wasn't
that a fun discussion?
Let's just superhero time this.
Yeah, it's time for a necessary sound effect.
I love
effects.
You. It's awesome. Can blow me.
Superhero time. Go Kaija. Asimaru. Kamen Rider.
Man.
Yarks.
Man.
Hey, man.
Okay, so we're on episode 17. We've acquired the six Ranger keys, and we're all happy face. And on a side note, the movie that Super Sentai everyone bones each other or whatever. I don't know what it's called, but that's what we're calling it.
It's called 199 Heroes Orgy.
Yeah, I was part of that. I was hero number 199. That comes right before this episode. So that's our reference point. For this episode that starts with, we're fighting Zangak because there's everywhere and we're going to switch between powers like spammers because we need to show off Mecha in this episode at the beginning to show off all the cool stuff later. So they're like, Magi Dragon, use flamethrower. I think that's what I heard. And then they're like, Deka Gokaio time and like patch strike our guns. Now we summon the car forward. He's like, and he starts like, you know, doing one of those power slide spinning turn things, like the Fast and the Furious, and like lasers shoot out of his tires and he blows shit up. And they're like, haha, got you. And then more appeared and they're like, damn it, there's more of them. And they're like, hey, let's use that Ghost Sager power that we got in the movie. And they're like, okay. Which apparently their great power is Ghost Sager cards. The cards come out of the little ports. And then headers shoot out of them. The three brother sets and the five headers, and they just kamikaze through things and go, ha, we kill you.
I think it was pretty cool.
Like, it was, yeah, like, for, you know,
for
as much
Ghost
as, I know, as much as we have Ghost Sager, they actually had a pretty cool, great power, which is surprising. So, they did that, and then there's, like, this weird little creepy guy, and it's like, ah, I see the power. They are so cool. I'm so happy to see it. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Why are we in this episode? And he's like, I love Super Sentai's heart. And
I'm like, oh, fuck, it's us.
Yeah. And so they go on the ship and they're like, yay, we got lots of powers and we got these keys and we're so cool. Like, hey, Bird, tell us what to do now. And he's like, rah, find a silver guy. Rah. And they're like, okay, bye. And, like, we're searching. See you. I don't know why.
You just wanted to say that.
The episode.
Hey, man. Get on with it.
What?
Light those banners, man.
Yeah. And then there's a fat guy running, like, are you a cool guy in silver? And you're like, well, clearly he's not. He's a fat guy who can barely breathe.
Why you breathe so hard?
So I can live.
So I can live, fool. And so he runs away. And they find this, and that little nerdy dude is like, I love Sentai, yeah. He shows up, and he wants them to, like, help a little kid. And then the little kid's like, I can help myself, bitch. And he's like, Mommy, this kid's a pedophile. And he's like, no, I have a chin. Look, chin. You can see my chin. And so they're still looking, and they run into some Zangyaks. And they're like, hey, we need to, they're like, girl, hold on, I got a Gokai change. And that gave me time to get the key ready. Oh, crap, it's off.
Most unsuccessful sneakiness ever.
After some fun fighting where Green thinks that he is Brick from Anchorman, like running around holding a bomb. Do you know what it looked like?
Yeah. Now you see it.
And he's like holding the bomb in front of him. They're like, I know, let's use those cool Sixth Ranger keys, which apparently overloads the Mobirat so it doesn't say names of teams. But it does make the Green Ranger coin appear. And who had their other cool logo?
Time Fire had a pretty cool
fire. That's what it was. Time Fire, because they used Time
Eric.
Fire. Dragon Ranger, Magi Shine, Aberre Killer, and Mega Silver. And that was a pretty cool fight. We had some Super Silver Visor and Magi Lamp action. We had the Quantum Defender, which couldn't break through this guy's force field. And then Doc, who of course always gets the cool guys and makes them out to be gay. He was Dragon Ranger, a.k.a. Tommy!
Tommy! Like,
we're going to be hearing a lot of that later.
He dropped the Dragon Dagger onto the collar by accident. Turns out it's the guy's weakness and injures him. He's like, oh, gotta go, bye. And meanwhile, like, little nerdy guy's like, soka mai da, gedoshu. Wait, wrong
Suck
joke.
My gedoshu.
That's for later, Dawson. Things happen. He keeps being annoying. He's like, hey, I want to join you. I can replace Don because I forgot he exists. And they're all like happy face like, I'm... Like, they're basically if they had Ghost Ranger personalities. Except Aim to Family is like, I haven't changed much for some reason. And they're like, this is gay. Bye. And then Green's like, you forgot me. Everyone forgets me.
I'm awake.
They always remember the real Asakura, but nobody remembers me. And they're like, we're going back on our ship. Bye. And then Navi's like, hey, did you find that silver guy? And they're like, oh, fuck, we forgot. And they're like, gotta go. And so the bad guys in the meanwhile are like, hey, dude, take his collar. Give him an upgrade. And they do little quotey fingers.
Upgrade.
That tells
take him
them.
To the special room.
Take him to the gas chamber where Dawson's in his basement. He puts Jews there.
Damn,
I
work for Dagley Insurance.
And I forgot where I was. Oh, right. That little nerdy guy's like, oh, my God. That was hilarious. And this way, they send the guy back out, and then they go fight him some more, and they go back to Gokaigers, and they're about to fight, and he's like, wait. I have a cool thing to do, which we're going to insert this later because we don't have our toys yet. And he pulls out a Gokai Cellular and a silver Gokaiger key, pops it in, and he transforms. And then he's like, they're like, Marvelous, did you give anyone else a key? And he's like, no, there's only 5 Gokaiger keys. And then Joe's like, well... Something happened because he looks just like us, in case you couldn't tell. And he's like, shut up. And
I thought that was Will Turner.
He's like, I don't know. Fuck. And I forgot the cool part where they decided to find the silver guy by using Gokaio and a megaphone. Like, hey, you seeing a silver guy? And they're like, no.
That fat guy.
They're like, this one guy's like, I saw a fat guy over there. And they're like, we saw him already. Damn it. So Gokai Silver is now transformed, and he gives the longest roll call ever. Like, it's longer than the 7-person Go Onter one. It's longer
than the Samurai Rangers morph.
I was about to say that, actually. That was seriously the joke I worked out before this thing started.
I'm sorry.
It was longer than if anyone's seen Geki Ranger 32, where the 7 Kensei do their thing, the 3 Kenma do their thing, Ryo and Melee, and the 5 Geki Rangers do theirs. It's longer than all that put together. And then he goes in the Go Ranger order of red, blue, yellow, pink, green with like little sayings. It's all stupid. It was so gay. I was so gay. Anyway.
Fabulous. So
I got off on a tangent rant about his stupid roll call.
Fabulous.
Like, if he does that every episode, I'm going to kill him in the face. Fabulous. But he's fighting, and he's got Gokai Spirit gun mode. Blasts him some more. And he's like, Trident mode, epic spear, Trident action. And he kills them some more. And then they're like, cool, we got this. And they're going to go fight the guy with the collar because his Trident can't get through the force field. They're like, let's get the collar. Green's in a tree, like, back him into the tree. And then Silver's like, wait a minute. Something about this doesn't smell right. Something is rotten in Colorado. I think it's Dawson.
Hey, that's good luck, Charlie.
Like, something is rotten in the Netherlands. I think it's the Dutch. Oh, wait.
Blimey, I thought I smelled cabbage.
So they're like, he stops Green from attacking. They're like, they want us to hit the collar, you idiots. They're like, huh? So he uses his trident, lifts the thing off the guy's neck in the air, and it blows up. And they're like, holy fuck, what was that? And they get all scared. And then he's like, I got this. And he puts his key into the spear. And he's all, final wave! Leaps into the air, takes the trident, chucks it. Chuck. There we go. Also missed his cue. Sorry. And it like flashes through the dude, blows him up, and they're like, haha, lols. And he's like, I want to join your crew because I'm so cool. I can be your sixth Gokaiger. We can
he's
be all
lift now.
I'm so sparkly.
Sparkle.
And then it ends.
Sparkle.
But yeah. So it was a fun episode. I like let's see, what's the best episode? I like the suit and the weapons. This guy's going to have to grow on me because he's kind of annoying. He's the first person in this show I just get annoyed to hell by. But, I mean, it is kind of cool because it's like he's our perspective. So it's like if we were to just find a Ranger key somewhere and like suddenly become a Sentai and be like, I want to join you. I can be like you. I can transform and do the thing with the weapons. And yes. You know, and but yeah, I don't know. It was fun. The fight where they used Sixth Ranger keys was fantastic. Especially when he's all like, they have keys for those guys too. I knew it. And it's like, he is us. it was funny.
Except I would never tell someone to help a child up.
No, no, that kid can help himself.
I'd be like, look, he scraped his knee because he's going too fast and he's uncoordinated.
Like, in fact,
I think Guy tripped him with his mind because that kid just kind of like just randomly toppled over.
No,
that was just that was Magneto. He's just bored. He's retired.
I know someone who can fall over her own feet on flat ground.
I've done it before.
And, but what I think actually happened in this episode was that he was Lazy Coconut and was telling them be more like the Gosagers, and they were like, no, you. They became Rick Medina and were like, go fuck yourself.
Let me give my thoughts real quick. Just really quick.
Oh, God.
Sorry, I'm going second. I screwed up the order. Okay. I thought it was an okay episode. I was a little bit disappointed because, like, I didn't really find him that annoying because he's kind of like that typical kind of, like, Genta-type dude. And I loved the parody he did of, like, what normal Sentai is like and what I don't like about normal Sentai. Like, I get overexcited and mess up sometimes. That doesn't make any sense. I like to protect everyone's smiles. That makes less sense. Like, they frown. No! Turn that frown upside down, Sonny. I don't know where it came from. That was old Shoujo. But what was I going to say? I kind of wish, like, we'll see how it plays out in 2 weeks, but I wish that we would have gotten kind of a build-up and gotten his origin story, and then he becomes Silver. Kind of, like, not as taking as long, but similar to Goto with Date, where we kind of know him first, and he kind of earns the right to become Gokai Silver and part of the crew, instead of just like, hey, look, we want to sell toys before the 2 week break.
Yeah, I see what you're saying with that. That makes sense.
Basically, do episode 18 first.
Yeah, just show us the intro and get it us to know him and stuff. Kind of like how Kevin always talks about how he likes to be someone we know instead of just like, hey, look, I show up and I'm the new Blue Ranger. And he just shows up out of nowhere and he's Silver. And we've never seen him before.
Guys, I'm the new Gokaiger.
That's exactly what he did. And I don't know. It just kind of bugs me that we didn't get any kind of better introduction. But it was entertaining and his fight was cool. His roll call was unnecessary. But that's my thoughts.
Unnecessary. Good. That was supremely unnecessary. Good lord.
Especially after the very, like, easy Gokaireto.
Yeah, like, they just say their name and then we're done. This guy, no. All right, we're going to take a coffee break. We're going to get some popcorn. Try not to choke on it. And we'll come back in a few minutes. He'll be done. We're going to take a bathroom break, too, while you're at it. I got time. I'm like, seriously.
Ryan, your turn.
I mean, I don't really have too much more to say. I enjoyed it. I agree. It wasn't the best, Six Ranger introduction ever. I kind of like him. To you too. My phone went off. Probably didn't hear it. I don't know. Anyway.
I heard it.
Good. The love letter will probably kill it, and I just seem crazy.
That's what happens usually to me, so it's good it's happening to someone else.
I don't know. I like him. I think he's believable in a sense that he's just a crazed Sentai fan.
Yeah.
And like, he finally has this opportunity to be what he loves. And so he's just kind of crazy and excited, and he wants to prove that he's awesome sauce. So, I like him. I agree he's kind of annoying, but I think Genta's annoying too.
The only thing
Genta
that'll get annoying to me is preaching about you should help people, because I hate when people do that. Like, I love about the Gokaiders that they passed up that kid. I love that about them, that they're not typical Sentai bitches.
Like, I think if he wouldn't have been all preachy about that part, I probably wouldn't have minded him. I'd be like, haha, this is funny. It's like if we became Sentais, and then it would have been, and then I'd have been done with it. But he was like, you need to help this kid. Like, no.
I can't think of very many people that are fans of something like Power Rangers or Spider-Man or Batman. They were like, man, I would love to be that to help people. You'd love to do it to have the powers. Like, Infamous. I wouldn't want electric powers to help people. I'd want it to be like, bzzz, and just lol. I mean, sure, you help people, but that's why you do it, because you have fun using your powers. And that's my thing. And I was just quiet. Well, I'm just saying.
And I'm a homo.
I mean, as for Gokai Silver, I love his design. I like his, like, sunglasses-looking helmet.
Yeah, I like that it's a different color than black, too.
Yeah.
It's not done that often.
I think that's cool. I like the spear, because only awesome people fight with tridents.
Like Sigh of the Torrent.
Ariel's dad. I don't know his name. I just know
King
him
Triton.
Triton?
Yeah, sure. Whatever. I'm sorry I didn't keep the Ariel trivia in my head. Under this, what's that movie called? Little Mermaid. Under the Sea?
Under the Sea is a song. Under the Sea.
Here we go.
Under the Sea.
I'm sorry I replaced it with X-Men trivia.
Take it from me.
Oh my
what
god.
What do they got? A lot of sand. We got a hot crustacean band.
Brian, you know you've gone too long with Kevin. Stop.
I'm sorry. I'm having fun. I enjoyed it. It wasn't the best introduction. I think the next episode will help a lot. And having the break in between is terrible. I'm mad.
Yeah.
Like, I see why they did it. They're like, let's push out the toy, and then you can be all excited about Silver, and then we have the break.
Yeah.
But if they went my way, it'd be more annoying where they'd be like, is he going to become Gokai Silver? 2 weeks from now, you'll find out. Like, with, like, Chuck will be back in 3 weeks. We're like, no! Get our razors out. Start cutting ourselves. Anyway. Are we all done?
Yep.
All right. I just realized I'm going to have to talk twice in a row.
Yeah.
Because no samurai summary, so I have to get some water after this. Okay. So here we go. Is everyone ready for O's?
Yeah!
Okay. So we open, and we're back where we were last time with Edgy and Unk.
I'm sorry.
Wait, I haven't done that part yet, because I actually forgot to mark where it is. We'll have to put it somewhere. Anyway, with Edgy and Unk and Broto being attacked by the Gang of Silk. And Broto tries to stop Date from fighting. He's like, you can't do this. And he's like, LOL, no, just stay out of the way. And then he goes to Edgy and tells him what a douchebag he's decided to be. And Edgy gets pwned as usual, his 3 times pwned per episode. And he gets Unagi and Bata stolen. And Broto saves Edgy by sending the ride vendor into all the greeds, and it creates a Candroid bomb. It's pretty awesome. I think that's how they should have defeated the final villain. And, like, you know what you call it, double. Anyway, so then back at the restaurant, they all discuss.
I think it was somewhere in there.
Yeah, there we go. They interrupted their scene, and then we cut back to the restaurant again. And they're talking about how Date's become a D-bag, and how Ankh doesn't think he's going to redeem himself. Anyway.
Ankh would...
So then, at the Lair of Silk, Dr. Maki shows off his handcrafted metal holder that he made in Arts and Crafts. And he's like, we'll hand these out when we're done. I'm like, why don't we just do it by color, you idiot? And he's like, shut up.
He's like, no, you...
Yeah, so then Gamel's like, Ankh, I'm Gasha, wanna play? And he goes to play with Ankh, and he bitch slaps him, and he's like, I am Little Berg, you fuck. Little Berg. See,
I feel like there's been a little bird somewhere. I'm probably thinking of Little Bear, but...
Probably. Okay.
It's not a little bear.
So then we cut to Broto, who's the overt cake boss, and he wants to get a loan or some kind of work-off program to get Date's 100 million, and then Cake Boss just yells at him. I don't even know what he said. He's like, remember when you wanted to be birthed like 40 episodes ago? What happened to that, man?
And
then he rides off all emo. And then Date, we go back to the Lair of Silk, and Date's like, look, Dr. Maki, are you serious about this end of the world stuff on October? And he's like, Harold Capping will update us then. And then he explains that ever since he killed his sister, he's become more like a greed. And Date's like, I like you, man. hold on, I lost my place. Sorry.
I like you, man. There.
So he explains to Date that they're going to attack Edgy and alone and ambush him. And then Edgy's purple... Edgy's Barney metals sense Dr. Maki's Barney metals. And then they come together at this warehouse. And Dr. Maki and... Date roll up in this little bug and the purple light shine on, and Ankh goes, what a gay. I have to include that. Reminded me of that. So they're all there, and anyway, Broto shows up and he's like, Date, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, dude, seriously, this was not even for these dumb little kids in Africa. I didn't even care about Idle Gives Back. I'm doing this for my surgery. And then Brocho's like, okay, I'm going to stop you and be the birth that you once were. And then he goes birth, and he's like, LOL, no, Dr. Maki, you're dead! Except he doesn't shoot him. He's like, Kogami didn't want you to become a greed, so yeah, he told me to do this. And he's like, I anticipated this, so I will blow you up with this pen, Android 17. And then he punches it, and his, like, boob, like, vibrates, and he's like, but there's a bomb in it. Didn't you read the manual? He's like, I don't read, I'm Dawson. And then Kevin's like, I read it, and I took it out.
Oh, God!
And he's like, nice. And then the other three greed show up and blast the shit out of Date. And so Edgy's like, fuck you, raccoon! I don't know why he said that. It's Harold and Kumar reference. And then he goes, white blaster Beetleborg, and he attacks him. And then Broto goes to Date's body, and he's like, man, dude, you were pretty badass back there. I think you can carry on for me when I die. And then he passes out with the laser. And so Edgy gets pwned again outside. He's embarrassing himself. And then Broto shows up. So Broto finally goes birth after some odd episodes. And then he does. So then he pwns the shit out of everyone with Ultimate Daiboken. And medals go flying, and Ankh grabs... What did he grab? He got Taco, Lion, and did he get Bata back?
He got Bata, yeah. Taco, and Lion.
Yeah.
And the Nagi.
He got a Nagi back?
He now has full Shadowta action.
Yeah, because okay, so he had lost Unagi.
I thought he just got Bata back.
He lost Unagi and Bata at the beginning, and then he got Taco, Unagi, Bata, and Lion back at the end.
Okay, so he got those back, and... anyway, so he got those back, and then, like, little Onklet shows up with his one wing, and he's like, we're going home, biznatches, and then he, like, swoops them all up. And then, so we cut to Date, and he's like, all right, sorry I didn't finish the mission, and he's like, well, you get a bonus for training What's-His-Face, because we've been wanting to do that all along, which I don't know if that's true, but he gives him 50 million yen, and he's like, well, if you combine that with that bonus that that doctor gave me at the beginning, like an idiot, I have 100 million truce! And then
I'm going to push X and Y, and I'll be sucked.
And then he was. And then we cut to the airport where everyone's saying goodbye except Ankh. And then Dante's like, man, bro, why do you got to do me like that, Ankh-o? You need to say goodbye. And he's like, it's Ankh. And they're like, lol, silly Ankh. And then
tricks are for kids.
And then he leaves, and then we see Broto still training, and he's like, I will not say goodbye because we will meet again. And then it ends. That's how Broto talks now because he's a badass now. So I loved the episode. Like, I was totally thinking Date was a D-bag at the beginning. And I was like, oh man, he really did just want it for a surgery. They actually faked me out because I don't know if there was spoilers that it was a fake out, but I didn't read them. Probably.
Yeah, if there was, I didn't read them either, so.
But I thought it was great because, like, I felt like there had to be, like, an 11th hour, like, switch where he was like, LOL, I'm good. Because I thought that if he actually would have been a douche, that it would have really cheapened the entire, like, 20-odd episode journey we've had of their bromance. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought it was a great, like, conclusion and transfer of the powers between Date and Broto. I think Date just pretended to be dead so that Goto would just get the balls to finally go birth.
Yeah.
He's like, well, maybe if I'm dead, then he'll finally use it. But it was just a great final episode for that. And I hope Date comes back, like, for the finale or near the finale of One Life to Live, because that'd be great. Anyway, next. Edgy really didn't do anything this episode also. He just kind of sat around and did stuff.
Indeed.
I will go because I want to talk before Brian. I really enjoyed the episode.
I'll let you go
anyway. Fuck your mother. I enjoyed finally seeing Cutter wing by itself. That was fantastic. Flies around, just pwns things. It was so fantastic. He comes in and he's like, bitches kill my friends. I'm going to kill him. And then he just like goes like evil, insane person and just like starts blowing shit up with his mind and other weapons and kills things. And then I'm so glad we finally have access to Rautor Ta again. I almost forgot what that combo was.
I heard there was a green combo, but I think that's a rumor.
Yeah, I mean, I see a figure out of it, but I don't think it actually exists. I think it was only a figment of someone's imagination, and they made a figure out of it anyway, because they do that. And, but yeah, it was great. It was great. I enjoyed it. I don't know where I'm going with this, but,
I forgot to mention that it seems like Onklet is developing his own, like, personality rather than just being a meathead.
Yeah.
Now his personality is just, no, I want to be alone. We're going home. Damn it, I hate this trip.
I hate this trip. I don't want to be back in LA. Fucking dogs.
Like, I imagine Onklet just in the back of the car going, are we there yet? Fuck.
Are we there yet? 3. Onklet's revenge. Are we Onk yet?
Like, he's just turning to a very pissed little child.
God.
Oh my god, the episode as a whole, I loved it.
Yeah, like, and I love how...
Start
I love
to finish,
how,
it was awesome.
I love how Goto was just like, well, I read the manual, fucker, and I took your little shitting thing out.
That was awesome, particularly
take
because
that,
I never
bro.
Read manuals.
I know.
I would have blown up.
Yeah. And then
Date
would have
been fucked if I was Goto.
I know, right? Especially if it was Dawson, because Dawson can't read. He's illiterate.
I'd be like, what are these symbols?
And then he can't read English or Japanese. He's really screwed. And then that little Kandroid bomb thing he did, that
like,
was fantastic.
Goto was so goddamn badass in this episode.
I know, right?
Like, he makes, like, Kandroid bombs out of ride vendors, and he, like, cutter wings the shit out of everything.
They did
including,
a great
like, a
job.
Water tower. I don't know where he grew balls at.
They did a great job of, like, subtly, like, growing his character. Because at the beginning, he went from a total idiot that, like, blew up O's 3 times. And then, like, when he first joined Date, he was kind of like, well, I guess I'll do this, guys. And he's, like, in the back with, like, this little gun. And he looked like a little puppy. And, like, they just did a great job of gradually growing him to be ready for birth. And it was awesome. That sounded funny.
Yeah,
he took lots of Lamaze classes.
Like, I hated him so much at the beginning. I mean, all he did was, like, shoot O's with rocket launchers. I felt like I was playing Infamous. Like, just rocket launchers everywhere. Poor Edgy's like, bah! But, like...
He's like, where the fuck are you getting these things from?
Where are they coming from? I'm hearing the rockets.
Rocketo.
But...
Prepare for trouble.
Burrito.
Taquitos.
Nito burrito.
I agree. He gradually grew to the point where you almost didn't notice it.
Yeah.
Like, it was so gradual and subtle.
That, and just little things like him reading the manual last episode. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I didn't make anything of it. I assumed he was just bored.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to miss Date, though.
Yeah, I'm going to miss his washboard abs.
I know, like, I'm going to miss the, I'm really glad the rumors were wrong and he didn't die.
Yeah, because I definitely want him to come back.
Well,
for, like,
I like their, like, fake death. Because it, like, made you emotional for a little bit. It gave Goto the balls to actually become a badass. And honestly, he worked that birth suit better than Date ever did.
He read the manual.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
Date said on his premiere episode that he wasn't going to read that thing. Did you ever expect him to do it?
No. But, like, what was the last thing I said? I don't even remember. We just started talking about Goto. I don't remember.
But I just have to say that O's for me is, like, this. At least that's the thing I pay attention to. Like, this episode in particular is the story of Date and Goto and birth. I could give two shits about Edgy.
Yeah.
Like, this episode, Edgy wasn't hardly in it at all, except when he's like, fuck you, Raccoon, and he attacked with White Buster Beetleborg. I'm like, they should just make this show Brotos. So they should name it. Brotos.
And when he was all, I have purple glowy eyes.
It's because he's an anodite. But yeah, like, they're just my favorite parts of the show.
Like, I know, I agree. This is, it's rare where there's a writer show where I like the secondary writer more than the main writer.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is a perfect case. Like, I love the Date Goto dynamic, which is gone now. But
dynamic.
But now we have badass Goto that will kick all sorts of ass. So I guess it doesn't matter too bad.
Well, they have given them a lot more story focus and a lot more development. I mean, Edgy, for the most part, hasn't changed all that much.
We had that one episode where we learned about the war he was in and his politician parents and shit. But outside of that,
even with it, he's not all that interesting.
He's kind of a boring guy. I think it's just the nature of his character, because he's like, he's desireless, even though apparently his desire is the entire planet or something.
Miranoi.
That's a story for a different day, I guess, when we find out more. But like, he's, I guess it's just the nature of his character, because he's like, he's lacks desires. He just wants to help people. So, I mean, there really isn't anywhere to take his character besides using him as the host.
Yeah.
Whereas Date had, like, a whole mystery behind him, wanting to know why he was doing it, and then we think he's doing it for some heroic deed, and turns out he just wants to get the damn bullet out of his head.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough, I understand that.
Yeah, and then those, and then Goto being going from complete D-bag to complete, like, badass.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad it's not like, oh, look, it's school in Africa. That was dumb.
And then apparently, Sexretary is getting the extra birth buster.
Oh, that'll be
preview.
Fun.
Oh, that'll God.
I think that Date.
She's in, like, some sort of just Heidi outfit firing the birth buster.
Brate? That's their bromance couple shipper name. They should just dual wield it. That'd be awesome. I'd love to see that in an episode. Anyway.
I'm excited for the rest of the show, just because
I want to see where they're going.
Yeah,
because they seem like they're just writing as they go along, honestly. I'm enjoying it, but it's really a mess.
It kind of is. Like, I mean, it's a fairly organized mess compared to, like, Kabuto, which was just kind of an ordinary mess.
Yeah.
And then, like, Fize kind of felt like a mess at points, too. But, like, I mean, it is kind of going nowhere. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. They've resolved one story arc, so hopefully they can resolve the rest of them.
And the last, I'd like to see them actually go through a story arc instead of having a major event happen and they go to the fucking carnival like nothing happened. Oh, Edgy could kill us at any moment, lols. Edgy could wake up, go nuts, and kill everyone in the shop. And they don't even care, except for Ankh, because he senses stuff. All right.
Like, I feel like Ankh knows exactly what he's doing. I feel like he's Tendo.
Yeah, pretty much.
I feel like he knows exactly what he's doing, except for the parts where he gets scared.
Except for the parts he doesn't, yeah.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing, except when he doesn't, and then it's all happy face.
Happy face.
Happy balls. You're right.
Right.
Okay, are we ready for retrospective?
Samurai Summary the Shoe. Oh, wait,
hey.
No, that's not.
Oh, speaking of that, real quick, Supposedly France is getting episodes 17 and 18 soon. No, I'm not going to summarize things in French.
Oui, oui, les chouquets.
But if they're epic, there's a chance I might talk about them in a future episode once they air, because we have no idea when we're actually going to get them in America. So just there's a chance of that in the future.
Are we ready now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck you, cunt.
So now, you know what? I quit. No, okay. You do this shit.
You did that joke already.
Just stop. All right, you carry this shit. Anyway, so the Dino Thunder time. Let's go. Power Rangers roar, effing dinosaurs and all that stuff. Okay, so we open with Tommy. He's running from a bunch of Piranatrons, and he fights them off, and he's like, shit, bullshit. And he's escaping this epic exploding island, and I don't know why they're exploding it, but anyway. So then after that, it's like some years later, after Tommy swam home. It took him that long to swim home. Because he was, I don't know how he got rescued. Do you? Where's Wilson? No. Anyway, so
he became Bear Grylls.
He's at a high school with a briefcase that has the Dino Thunder logo on it for whatever reason. It was a freebie and a toy or something. So he's going to teach at Reefside now, and he gets greeted by Principal Randall, who just totally shatters Tommy's image of high school. He's like, I want you to make it as miserable as possible, but he's like, high school is supposed to be rainbows and sugar. Like, we all get along. BFF Facebook. Where's my green pants? I don't know why Tommy sounds like that. So anyway, he becomes a teacher, so... And then we get introduced to our three rangers who are doing hooligan activities at the time. Connor's being bad because he's being a field fairy off duty and he's playing soccer when he's supposed to be in class. And he gets caught by Principal Randall being a sexist. And Ethan like sets the sprinklers off on everyone because he thinks it'd be funny. And Kira gets in trouble for singing. And so she gives him all the attention and she pawns him off on Tommy. So they go to Mugeum. And they're like, oh, man, it's closed. What are we going to do? He's like, I'll tell you what. Why don't you three kids who I'm responsible for wander into the woods there and find me something prehistoric? I'm going to see if I can find someone to tell me why this place is closed. They're just like, that doesn't sound dangerous. So they're walking, and Ethan's like, maybe we could fall into a sinkhole. And the Connor's like, lol, you're a dork. And then they fall into a sinkhole. And Tommy gets attacked by a dinosaur, and he tries to kick it and then lock his door to combat this. I don't know where his brain is gone.
Something he was watching Jurassic Park.
Exactly. So anyway, so he like outruns it and it hits his head and he finds out it's a Terminator sent from the future to destroy Tommy. and then meanwhile the three teenagers find this freaky cave and they find these like a steaming meteorite where they find the three dino gems and they roar at them and then they get out of the thing eventually and they get attacked by Piranatrons. Piranadrones, and they all discover they have powers, but then they hide it from Tommy. And then because of that later, Kira is kidnapped, or Kira-napped, and then they go to find Dr. O and tell him what happened, so they get her back, and Ethan's like, he's not going to fall in the sky and land right in front of us, lols, and then she does. And then they have an epic fight, and then later, Mezagog unleashes the Biozords, and Tommy gives them the Morphers, and they become the Power Rangers, and gain control of the Zords, and they blow up Zeltrax and everything's happy in their Power Rangers. And then we get just one episode of filler about Connor not wanting to be a Power Ranger, and then he saves a Kiwi girl and he's fine. And at the end of that episode, Tommy is kidnapped. So they go to his computer to find his personal porn while he's gone, and they end up finding Power Rangers summaries with Tommy. And so he summarizes like all the seasons and reveals that he's Dr. Gero, like just like Maki, and he has like little bugs flying around watching everyone. And so, they get a Ranger history, and Haley shows up from the Cyber Cafe, and she's like, oh, we're best friends, and I made the stuff. And so they watch the documentary, and they keep pausing the damn tape. Just let them finish watching it. Anyway, so they go off to rescue Tommy with Raptor cycles of lasers that come out of nowhere. Tommy gets his Black Ranger power that he stole from Mezagog. He's like, lol, I'm not too old for this. And I lost my place. Shit, I keep doing that. Can't do that anymore. Okay, so then we get some filler where we learn about Tommy and Dr. Mercer and how Dr. Mercer's a D-bag now. We're introduced to Trent, who is his adoptive son. I don't know why they just didn't make his mom Mexican. Anyway, so so Mezagog found a dino gem, and he's working on it and to make like an evil ranger. And Trent finds an invisible portal in his house and goes through it and gets the white dino powers and he pones the shit out of the Rangers and he gets his own Zord and he steals their Stegazord and he's just an all-around dick. But he doesn't know it because he keeps
passing. He's Rick Medina?
Exactly. And Tommy finds out his identity, but then he freezes Tommy and Amber. And then the others later find out that Trent is the White Ranger, and he says he's too dangerous and he must stay away from them. And so they eventually free Tommy, but he's stuck in Ranger form because Jason David Frank had to fly back to California.
They free him from Amber, he becomes Aerodactyl, and...
And then all of a sudden, there's a few episodes where Trent's all like, lols, I'm going into the woods. But then he's kind of like Lightly Angle. He just shows up and he's completely taken over by the Drago Dopon. I mean, Dopon.
Mutsuki!
Undead. Yeah, he's Mutsuki. Basically, that's exactly what happened. So he goes completely evil. We get some more filler where he joins with Mezogog after that. We will find out that Anton Mercer is Mezogog. We will introduce to Wacker Wilson in a special episode. That's fun. And then Anton Mercer gains control of Mezogog long enough to break free the evil spell on Trent, and he joins the team, but he is cloned because they still have more Abba Killer footage to go through. So that happens. And then Tommy gets freed. Well, not free. He gets freed, but he turns invisible. These fuckers just... Poor Tommy. They're trying to fix him. He becomes invisible, and then they put him into a coma. Good job, guys. So then he goes through his whole coma thing where he fights his old powers, and... he wakes up and he's all Black Ranger again and everything's happy. And then in order to fight... Actually, I think Jurassic Triumph took place before this. I'm sorry. The White Ranger's clone created a evil monster and they needed the Triassic powers to get it. And they found the Shield of Triumph and it requires the Rangers depositing all their powers and Connor's all Triassic and stuff. So then after Tommy's back, he reveals to Connor that there's a power greater than anything else that he's achieved before. It's Go-Go Gadget legs. And in order to save Claire, he goes Go-Go Gadget. And he gets his super-duper cool Battleizer.
Hippie Clay.
Exactly. And so then we get a little bit more filler. And we've got a cool guy team up. At some point along the line, we learn Zeltrax is a disgruntled employee. I can't remember when that takes place, and I forgot to write it exactly in here.
That was towards the beginning.
It was, but I couldn't remember the episode where it was, and I went to write it in, and then anyway... But so all that happens. Okay. So then we get some more filler, and then the final episodes leading up to the finale are just some like recap episodes and Trent telling everyone that his dad's Mezogog finally. And then so we got the finale. Mezogog wants to turn everyone on Earth into a dinosaur because he's a crazy asshole. So the Rangers want to go to destroy the island with their super cool truck that they repainted from the Ninja Storm. And so they set a trap. We're planning on setting a trap with using the Dino Gems as bait. Meanwhile, we get a brief plot where Elsa's power gets drained, and she's all like, oh, I'm a human. I don't know what to do anymore, derp. And they save her from Zeltrax. And then after Mezogog takes the bake, he takes the easy bake oven, and then they blow up the island. And while that's happening, in traditional finale fashion, Zeltrax blows up their base because he's a dick that way. So after they find the lab destroyed and Elsa kidnapped, they go to confront Zeltrax at his extremely odd-looking Zord. Of course, Tommy saves the day because that's what Tommy does. And then they sacrifice all the Zords because that's also what Tommy does. And then they're like, ready for more battle? And they're like, yep. And then Mezogog, who split off from Anton Mercer, goes all mutant mode, and they have a super cool fight, and Cassidy and Devin are like, lols, we saw the whole thing, but we're going to be nice now and not give over the footage. And then they have their epic prom, and they're like, it's going to be a pig night. And they have their
pig
prom.
Pig night?
Yes. And they have their prom, and there's a happy singing montage, and then it ends. And that's Dino Thunder. Now I need some water.
All right, Brian, you kick it off with the plot.
Okay. I think Dino Thunder had a pretty decent story going for it. I think it was a kick up from Ninja Storm's overall lack of story.
Yeah.
Everything... Kevin, what are you doing?
I'm not doing anything.
I'm not doing anything.
Someone's touching a microphone.
I'm not touching anything.
I'm not either.
Okay. Okay, it's gone. It's gone. Okay.
Brian's lost it.
I know.
But, yeah, I'm going to keep that part in and they'll know I'm not crazy. But, I honestly loved it. It was one of my favorite seasons when I was going back and watching. It was one of the first ones I actually went back and watched. But I really, really like it.
Yeah, it was great. Like, it was a step up from Ninja Storm, but it was also similar in the fact that it wasn't a super involved plot. It was more basic.
Yeah, it was incredibly basic. But...
And there was a lot of filler, but like Ninja Storm, they're really fun filler, like Wacker Wilson.
And the episode where they all changed personalities, that was really fun.
Yeah. Well, and also it was kind of like having, instead of having one story, there was several. I mean, you had Tommy and Zeltrax kind of thing a little bit, and then they had Trent. You know, they had the thing with Trent and Anton Mercer and Mezogog, and then that also included Tommy, and then them at school.
More Tommy with Tommy.
And then there was Devin and Cassidy trying to find out the Power Rangers. So they were like Bulk and Skull from season 2. And like they had a whole bunch of different things going on at one time. And even kind of Cassidy had her own little story, like, you know, trying to be like a news reporter or whatever. Yeah. Like there was a lot of different things going on. It was just a really good season, I thought, with the story.
I want to point this out at the beginning.
Please
is
don't.
That okay? We'll just stop now. is that it was obvious? Like, I'm sure there's articles about it. I just didn't bother remembering or whatever. But that it was set up. They had the storyline and everything set up before they got Jason David Frank back. And something about Kale said something about they considered Austin St. John. I couldn't see him as a doctor whose hair didn't move. I'm sorry, but it was obvious that way. But they did a great job of. Like, I'm not trying to rag on Samurai in this, but just changing the dialogue instead of just giving, you know, Big Max or whatever's dialogue to Bulk, mm-hmm. is that they did a great job of, like, incorporating, like, in the pilot, like, there was parts where it was obvious that it could just be any teacher, but where they added, like, the foreshadowing of why Tommy knows so much about this, and then later on, just in general, with his, like, Fighting Spirit storyline and everything.
Fighting Spirit was fantastic.
It was.
Oh, yeah. And then the joke about, well, I got powers now, I need to go find some black clothes.
Yeah, that was great. That was another great self-aware joke that was good. But I think, like, they did a great job of including Tommy into everything and, like, making it feel real Power Rangers-like and including that element to it. But I still think it would have been a really good season even without Tommy. If it would have just been a regular teacher.
Well, yeah, it would have been, because for half the thing, he himself wasn't there. He was just voicing over a guy in a suit. So, yeah.
Right. Just like, shit, bullshit, the whole time. That's what he did.
Like, I mean, I think a lot of the entertainment value in Dino Thunder was brought on because Tommy was there, but at the same time, it would have been, like, kind of like Gokaiser, it would have been a fantastic season even if that element wasn't there.
Yeah.
Just because it was kind of like, it was MMPR, but redone.
Good.
In an atmosphere that made a lot of sense at the time.
Like,
it
realistic.
Still does. It was a lot more realistic.
Like, because everything wasn't sunshine and rainbows.
The kids had their own problems that they had to deal with, as opposed to being absolutely perfect and going to do volunteer work every day.
Well, and here, you know, in MMPR, you had, like we talked about when we did that, you had, like, the jock and the nerd and the black guy. And they were all, like, we're all completely different people, but we're BFF Facebook friends constantly forever. And then, but here they were like, okay, we have Connor's the soccer player and Ethan's the nerd. And, like, yeah, no, you guys suck. Fuck away.
Fuck away.
They had to actually learn to like each other, as opposed to just, we're all different, but we're BFF Facebook friends. Let's go do charity. No.
Cassidy, Devin, and they don't notice that, like, in the first episodes, they're like, isn't that strange? He's like, yeah, bunch of kids standing around talking. But I just have to mention also, I don't know, like, what other people's high schools are like, but, like, here, it did seem funny, like, nerds are still made fun of, but, like, people that are into video games generally aren't made fun of, at least in my, like, area, like, socialization. And people that play soccer aren't necessarily, like, made fun of, but it's not considered the coolest sport here. It's usually, like, the, like, weakest one. They're like, lol, you field fairy. So that did seem kind of funny.
Yeah, well, it's not the, like, coolest sport here either. They're not made fun of, but...
No,
but at least for, in my experience, people who play video games aren't made fun of, because pretty much everyone does. But
yeah.
it's more of a, you're more of made fun of for the games you play, or like the systems you play on, as opposed to just the fact that you play them. Like, I know I always got it for, all you like Pokemon, blah blah blah, as opposed to all you play video games in general.
I was fortunate. Like, a bunch of people in my school still played Pokemon.
Pokemon is the shit.
But
fuck you.
Most of my socializing in high school was done with the Japanese club, though, so...
It's done
we
with the Japanese.
Have those, so...
Brian was raised by a Japanese family.
Yeah.
It was funny. But,
the mailman. The mailman asked my dad if I was from Japan.
Poor dad. Got back. Anyway. But beyond those little, like, inconsistencies with regular life, it was a lot more realistic than MMPR, and they didn't wear green pants, and... And it was, they did just a good job of that. And it was just such a fun show.
And they still wore their color, but it was a lot less stupid.
Yeah. Connor wore like the same shirt like 8 times, though. It was pretty funny. Like, he had that one shirt with like the red square in the middle. I don't know. That's not odd to notice, but. And like Lost and Found in Translation, like no other series has ever done that before. That was great.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Maybe that's kind of what got me to go watch Sentai and actually want to go see what it's all about and everything. So I mean, while some people, I know some people don't like it, I can't be angry at it purely for that.
Mm-hmm. Like, so, I can't get mad at them for just trying to reference where they come from, which is really cool.
And essentially, when you look at it, I mean, Connor had the same reaction that a lot of people have. There's Power Rangers in Japan?
Pretty much.
He was the typical, like, non-Sentai knowledgeable person. They're like, oh, it's Japanese Power Rangers.
I'm like, how do they know how to do what we do? Like, what?
Like, I mean, it was really hilarious, like, looking at Sentai from a viewpoint where the Rangers are real. So it was kind of a really weird thing for the characters to go.
That'd be hilarious. That, like, just thinking about that for each different season.
And they're like, how do they know how the little hand motion we do? Are they watching us? Do they have cameras?
Like, because they all look at each other like, I didn't tell anybody. You guys? No. No. Wasn't me. But yeah. Overall, Dino Thunder was really good story-wise.
I think it was a really good win.
Like, it had a lot of, just to summarize, like, a lot of fun and enough, like, different mysteries to keep you watching for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, it certainly kept me interested, like, almost the entire time.
Almost. Hey, now, that's a bold statement.
Well, I mean, some of the filler lost my interest at certain places, but as far as, like, the things that definitely had to do with the story, like, I was
but
always...
But Piggy's a... Wasn't Piggy a record producer, or was it Boom?
It was Boom.
It was Boom?
It was Kelson, that was...
I could swear he was the Happy Fish, too. I could swear that was him.
Whomever was there was there. He was a record producer, damn it. Didn't that hold your interest?
Oh. That was Boom.
Whoever it was.
I like that one because we got to hear Emilhanna sing.
She's pretty and sings like an angel. Oh.
Except for when she was dressed in that mohawk costume when they had that. That was
fucking hilarious.
And it's like teapots. I'm like, what is going on? Somebody slipped something in my drink? Rohypnol.
And then Dawson was like, where's Sarah Walker?
I wasn't drunk.
Right,
that's hilarious that I did that. I don't even recall it.
This season had a team up.
It
Let's
did.
Let's talk about the team up.
Team up was awesome.
The team up was really well done this
because
season.
At the end they laughed at the villains. They went, ha, ha, ha! And they laughed at them.
They don't talk much, but they fight like the Dickens.
The team up, like, it didn't do it as, I don't want to say as well, but I feel like Time Force did it better of continuing the story, but it did a good job of continuing Ninja Storm's story.
Yeah, like, I mean, it didn't really add too much to it, but it felt like it was a good continuing of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, Wild West.
Like, we're both
sorry for that. I don't know why I stuttered 12 times. The Wild Force team up with Time Force. That's what I wanted to say. Like, that brought in the Time Force people and, like, ended their story for the most part. While this brought them back, continued things, and it worked really well as a continuation while not completely, like, solidifying their story.
I like that they had to actually get their powers back.
Like video game power-ups. Like, Kim's like, there's the Samurai Morpher! Da-dink! Got it. They're just offloading there.
Like, they didn't ignore the fact that they lost their powers at the end of the season. They had to find a way to get them back.
Like,
and it was cool that...
We have to go in there. I don't want
to see the two Rangers fight. That was cool.
Yeah, that was cool, too.
Yeah.
Like, they had a great civilian fight, and then... It was just, like, the Ninja Storm Rangers, like, totally pwned the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Made me mad at the time, because, like, I like Ninja Storm, but I prefer Dino Thunder. But it makes sense, since they're just a bunch of high school kids. And not only are they ninjas, but they were Rangers for longer.
Yeah.
So it made sense that they just, like, totally beat the shit out of him.
But, and I love how, like, this the civilian fight, because it starts off and they're just fighting regular, and then they're like, ha, we have dino powers, lols. And then Dustin's like, damn it, he's got dino armor, and Kira scream, and it was fun. And then we had Lothar versus Mezagog. That was
cool, fantastic. Too, because it's rare that we get like a villain versus villain dynamic in the team up.
Dynamic.
Sorry.
It was really cool.
They're usually like, you hate guys in spandex? I hate guys in spandex too.
Let's do things.
Let's do the fusion.
I feel like Lothar, I don't remember it. Like, it's like on the tip of my tongue remembering it. That sounds weird. But where he made a comment about how there's only five of them that Mezagog has to deal with, and he had to deal with six.
Yeah. Like, Lothar was just like so sarcastic and witty to Mezagog during this entire ordeal.
And like they fought at the end, and then he trapped him in a figurine, and like technically Lothar could still be out there somewhere, just floating around. Well, it's not some guy's shell.
I imagine he probably died when the
it blew up. Yeah, but it still kind of leaves it open.
Yeah, there's still a possibility.
Anything's That'd be possible. Cool. Soap opera. Wait a minute.
But yeah, I really liked it.
Oh, he was the guy in Samurai that when they went to the gate.
He was Daisuke.
He was Daisuke.
You didn't know that?
No.
Were you being funny, or did you literally just realize that? Oh, I thought you were looking on Wikipedia or something. You saw that. And you had a realization. I don't know. All I know is Hunter's a Wiccan, okay? Leave me alone.
Hunter's a Wiccan?
Yeah. It was a good team up.
It was.
Just, I forgot to mention in the story, but do we want to talk about Legacy of Power really quick?
Yeah, we should.
It was there. No, I'm kidding. Like, it was a really cool like tribute to 500 episodes. Mm-hmm. Even if Tommy's summaries lacked. Like, we talk about him being too long, talk about too short. Like, I've made this joke like 8 times already, but he'd be like, the Rangers got their powers from so-and-so, and just in time, because the final battle was 4 minutes later. Like, he made it seem really short, and like, or like, space, he's like, oh, Zane joined, and then they killed Estrada. I'm like, that's not what happened, dude. Did you watch the show? What were you doing during Countdown to Destruction? Sitting at Bulkmeyer's?
Masturbating.
It was a good tribute.
Like, I don't remember whether it was in one of our conversations or whether it was actually on the podcast, where I was talking about how Jeff showed me the episode.
Yeah, you told me that was.
Well, he showed me the episode when I really wasn't watching PR or anything. And I just thought it was really cool, and it got me like to see everything that I miss, and to get me interested again, and then I start watching again with SPD. But it was able to draw me back in, so it was a helpful episode in that aspect.
Well, it was great because I think at that time I hadn't really seen anything too much of Lightspeed Rescue or all of the rest of Lost Galaxy, Ginger Man, or Time Force. So it was like, okay, this is what I missed. Yay! I got it in a 2-minute summary, and then that was cool. It's like, didn't miss a lot then. All right then, cool. Moving along.
I also like that the episode sort of set up Tommy as kind of like this Grand Ranger Guardian type deal, where because I always make the joke. In all seasons, when something's going down, like the Earth is dead or whatever, not dead, but it's being attacked severely, I'm like, where's all the other Rangers? Like, I know it's not possible for them to come back, like, realistically, but...
The planet is falling?
Yeah, yes, exactly. But, like, in an in-world perspective, if the world existed, it doesn't make sense that previous people wouldn't help. So I like the idea that Tommy's kind of watching in the background to see if these people fuck up. And, like, how then he's like, these people are responsible for protecting the planet. They're 18. Don't even worry about it. Everyone else sucks.
And
Matt Carter guy,
comes in, like, he's not just the oldest Ranger or whatever. He's the best. Like, we know, right?
And then you see this like button that says President of Tommy Fan Club on her. She's like, he met me after grad school, and I told him racing cars was stupid, so he became a paleontologist. But anyway, I just wanted to cover that because I thought it was him.
I also want to say that
we're moving on. No, I'm kidding.
Oh,
just kidding.
A fighting spirit. Was like
the
best Tommy fan wank episode ever.
Except you didn't fight the Red Turbo Ranger. Why is that? That's because Turbo Ranger's TJ, because he is faster than Tommy. They raced for the suit at the end of the show.
And TJ's black, so he won.
Yeah, TJ's awesome. But that was just so great.
But I love so that episode. Watching it, I was like, this is hardcore.
This is hardcore, man.
They're like, it's a Green Ranger, it's a White Ranger.
I think they made their own Green Ranger helmet for this, but whatever.
Not Kansas anymore. We're an Angel Grove. Actually, this is New Zealand that's been teepeed, but that's okay.
The Green Ranger in that one was a mess.
Oh, because of his suit?
Yeah, like, I forgot what kind of shield he had, but I think it was closer to the Sentai shield.
And his helmet was painted.
And his helmet had that weird silver stripe in it. And...
yeah, but it was still cool. And they have, like, the Dragon Dagger tune when, like, the dagger shoot up.
Yeah, it was like a remix.
It was really cool.
But, I really, really, really liked that episode. It was a great way to bring him back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
after
absolutely.
Being, like, invisible or dead or whatever the hell he was at that point.
They just, like, experimented on the poor guy.
He was stuck in his suit, then he was invisible, and then he died. I don't remember.
How does that, like, I always think about, how does that work in the real world? Like, how does he go pee? Does morphing, like, take away your penis so you don't have to pee? Like, what happens? Is he, like, sitting there at home always seeing through black sunglasses vision? Like, think about this stuff.
Poor guy.
Poor Dawson having to think about all this.
Like, the guy in the bed, like, he doesn't need a pillow because he can't feel it.
Talk about helmet hair.
Like, honestly.
Honestly.
Like, you
do. How moldy that gel got. We're not even talking about Fighting Spirit anymore. Let's just move on.
Yeah, we're just rambling. So, right. Characters.
Connor. We'll start with Tommy or Connor. We'll cover the main people first.
Start with Tommy.
Kami.
Because who's first on the Wikipedia? That's the official list.
Connor.
Okay, well.
Cocker.
Cocky. Connor, I honestly never really liked Connor.
I'm president of the Connor fan club.
Like, I mean, his actor wasn't bad. It had nothing to do with that.
For once.
It was just that, I guess he was the jockey guy, and I never really got along with those people in school.
Brian Washi's like, fuck jocks! And he pumped his own fist, and then he left. He just ran away.
And, like after he got... It always bothered me that he got, like, every power-up ever.
Well, that's all Red Rangers.
I know, but he got so much. He had Super Dino Mode, he had Triassic, he had the Battleizer. And, like, he got so much stuff. I mean, that really didn't affect it. I just didn't really like his character. I guess I just didn't really like the Red in this case.
He was my least favorite out of the core three, I think. But I enjoyed the fact that he really grew from the beginning, where he's like, I'm a jock, Ethan, you're a total dick, get out of my face. I don't want to talk to you, nerd. I don't need your details.
Shut up, nerd.
Like, by the end, he grew into, like friends with Ethan and friends with Kira and just more of a nice person and, like, a good leader. Like, they did a good job of... sort of like Goto, just kind of gradually changing without you noticing. And his hair got longer, too, which was fun.
He reverse chucked
back, but it's high up. Reverse chucked. <That's> like, no. But, like, he wasn't one of my favorites, but I didn't mind him as much just because I thought he did a good job of changing.
Yeah, he did do a good job of changing. I'll give him that. Like, I liked him a lot better at the end of the show.
Like, and as much as I like the whole... Sorry, I just want to say one thing. You can go. Okay. The whole idea of Tommy, like, passing the torch to, like, the next generation, it always bugs me when there's somebody more experienced on the team that's like, no, you go. You can be leader. You're just 18. Like, that'll bug me more in Jungle Fury, but still. And sure, Tommy was trapped, but that bugged me that he was still leader. Anyway, go ahead, Kevin.
I didn't have too much of a problem with Connor after he stopped being completely a douchebag. I mean, I loved how he was all... yeah, no, I want to save your tree. Lols, gets in pants. Like,
he honestly, he like just wanted hunter. A fucker. He didn't care about
honestly.
The damn tree. He was a high school student.
I didn't care about the damn tree.
Yeah, like that made me happy. I was like, yes, I love Connor. He is my favorite guy ever.
I think his brother's cooler. Brother.
I love how they added that into Legacy of Power 2 when he was like, oh yeah, my brother went there.
I love how the super secret ninja moves are generic punches and kicks. There's nothing special about it.
And he breaks the shit.
And he's like, that jolt gave me something. Yeah, it's the rest of the video, Haley. Shut up. Like, it was just a stupid part.
They had to do all this work for the goddamn video.
I know, they're like, we have to search.
That ninja jolt gave me something. Yeah, it's called herpes.
We always knew there was Connor-Haley secret relationship. But Connor, he was overall. I didn't mind him. I liked Connor. I thought he grew. He grew in his pants when he saw Krista.
Claire,
yeah.
Hippie Claire.
Okay. So
Nova Ranger.
Yeah, I know, right?
Who's next on the Wikipedia.
Ethan.
Ethan is. Oh, you go first. Sorry, forgot the rules.
Okay. I really like.
I made the rules and I forgot them.
Ethan, besides like Tommy and Trent, because I like them better, but like out of the core three, Ethan was my favorite just because he reminded me of me. Like,
you're black? Oh shit, I never knew.
No, he's hung like a horse, so.
Oh. It was a moose.
But like, I mean, he was, yeah, he was kind of like a jackass sometimes.
Sometimes.
Which,
like, when he sprinkled all the people?
Me all the time.
And if only the event fans had worked their asses off like Chuck fans. Fuck you.
I had to do it that time. I had to.
I was thinking it for sure.
And, like, just with all, like, the video games and the computers, I'm like, hey, it's me. So, I really liked Ethan. He didn't really change too much. I mean, he kind of changed in the same way Connor did, in a sense where he accepted everyone else at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't have to change as much as Connor did, because Connor was just a jackass at the beginning.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really liked Ethan. Like, he was a nice, like, relatable character, and he had... and some funny moments, and I liked this whole storyline with dating Cassidy. That was funny.
That was
forbidden.
Good.
I can't be seen with someone that's black. I don't know why she was Southern. It was like the 20s. But she was just a really fun character, and I love that he got a hovercraft cycle. Like, he got something.
Yeah.
And a hovercraft cycle. He said it the same every time. I think it was stock footage. I think Ethan just recorded it and kept playing it. But he, like... you didn't, like, have a whole lot going on, other, like you said, other than just becoming friends with his other, like, teammates. But he was really just a nice, like, enjoyable character to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked Ethan. And his actor's name is Kevin, and he's about my age, so that made me happy, too.
You guys get together and form the Kevin Club with Naji.
Yeah, or we could just kill him.
And Kevin Bacon. And then he can just eat bacon.
Yeah, I liked Ethan, and it was just he was nerd without being like ridiculously overly nerd like Billy was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything was more realistic, basically.
You know, like he was nerd without being like, well, I mean, you know, you're in the square, the hypotenuse all over the sum of my balls sucking each other. Your geek
know.
Talk is just stupid.
Yeah, I mean he was a smart computer geek that didn't have to use stupid hip language.
Of course, granted, people around him weren't so stupid. They were like, what's metamorphosis mean? I'm a stupid bitch. Like, what?
And he didn't run from putties, or pteranodrones in this case.
He could actually fight them. That was cool.
Epically.
He got super tough armor hide with his dino gem, which means he got basically, you know...
a really hard dick?
Skin. Yeah.
Oh, I went somewhere else, and I'm sorry about that.
I don't think you are. I think we know your true intentions with Ethan.
Well, I thought that's where you were going to go anyway.
I thought I was going to go for his penis?
Yes!
No.
Okay, let's go.
I have my own black man penis, thank you.
Can we... let's just talk about Kira.
She's hot. There we go. Moving along.
Well, besides
right,
the obvious...
to Tommy. She's hot.
Kira can sing. She was like, I play guitar and can sing. And I was like, I know, right?
Yeah.
And she was all, freak you out.
Babe, can you tone it down? Don't call me babe. Did you just call me babe? Ethan's like, oh.
Uh-oh.
I was too busy thinking about how hot you are.
Her character...
penis.
She started out as kind of a bitch. They all kind of started out as complete jackasses.
Pretty much.
And of course, she changed just like everyone else did. I don't honestly have too much to say about her character because she didn't change too much.
I think she changed more than Ethan and less than Connor in the fact
that
in the beginning she was betrayed as like a real loner and like didn't talk to anyone. In the end, she kind of came out of her shell more.
Like, I just want to write music.
That's exactly. And she was all like, I'm horny for Trent, but nothing ever comes of it. Get it?
Penis jokes.
Okay. But, yes, I enjoyed her. She was nice to look at, and she sang, and she had some, like everyone else, good moments. Like, she didn't change a whole lot, but she was really
good
fun.
Good actress, too.
Yeah.
And then she was on my Stargate program and was a replicator, and she was a robot and had an epic fight scene.
Robots.
That was fun.
Space.
Space.
So that was a sheep space.
Space Nine.
Now I'm going to murder you.
Is there anything else about Kira before we move on to Tommy?
Tommy
is so pretty. Better than Black Canary.
Tommy?
No, Kira.
Kira? Okay. okay, Tommy. Honestly.
Oh, and she rode in on that Zord one time. That was cool.
Oh, yeah, she rode in on her Terrazord.
She was like, bitch, please, I'll kill you.
During the Missing Bone episode?
Kill you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That episode was pretty cool because they formed the Megazord without her, so it didn't have a helmet.
Yeah, it looked bald, just like the Go Ranger key.
Had no helmet and no skirt or whatever.
Chest thing.
I wish Kira had no skirt.
Okay, Tommy.
I wish Tommy had
Tommy had no skirt.
Damn it. High five.
What, I mean, what is there to say about Tommy? Episode. Really?
He's Tommy.
Tommy is the greatest ranger ever. Oh.
But that's another story.
Tommy,
wait,
I mean, it was cool in this season that he took a little bit of a back seat
and he could pass
time for it. Doing all this weird stuff that he shouldn't be able to do in the time span given between we last saw him and now. But
oh, whatever.
But I mean, it was interesting to have an older character around all these newer ones.
To guide them.
And like you said at the beginning, it would have worked just fine without him.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he was there, and given the fact that it was Tommy and not, like, as much as I would like to see Adam.
Yeah.
Adam's
too busy being awesome. What did Adam do when he grew up? He became awesome. He became Johnny Young Bosch. That's what Adam did.
Well, the thing is, if it had been, different, new character as opposed to Tommy, it still could have been more of a mentor role, but mm-hmm. it would have been a different kind of mentor role. Like, it was clear that they had to have changed some of the dialogue for it to be Tommy, to be able to give that past Ranger experience advice to Connor and stuff.
And then there was also foreshadowing in the pilot about... Well, because the pilot's more so...
In the pilot.
Well, the pilot has the most notable dialogue or scenes or structure of it being set up for really anybody to play it. Like, later on, it was obviously changed for all the storyline to fit it, but they did a good job of changing the scenes to foreshadow about, how do you know all about this? Why do you have a dagger back there? What's that Zeo helmet? Where's your Zeonizer? It'll all be explained in episode 4. Okay.
And then he's like, go fuck yourself.
Medina's just there. Damn, everywhere. Fuck. I think that it was his best performance as Tommy.
Oh, definitely.
Best acting. Like, all the other ones, it was so generic, nice guy.
Well, that's because he had an audition for it, so.
Pretty much. He's like, really?
We'll talk about that right now. The Disney people.
The Disney
made Jason David Frank audition for Tommy.
I think this is why people say Disney blows when they're making Power Rangers, because of this incident right here.
What is going on in their minds to have him audition for a character he made?
It was funny hearing the story at Morphicon. He talked about how, because that same question was asked several times, why he came back. He said he did it as a favor to the producers.
Yeah, to
and they,
Doug.
Yeah, and Anne, I think, yeah. And he was sitting at the table with them, and they wanted him to audition, and he started getting upset. And he's like, Tommy, come, behave, because Jason David Frank's kind of like a troublemaker.
Yeah.
And so they were like, they had to calm him down and get him to behave like a little dog. So, obviously...
Give him a treat.
Yeah, but it was really funny. But that's really ridiculous. They made him audition for that role of himself.
It's like give him that piece of Amy Jo we saved from 93. Just it'll calm him down.
But yeah, that was stupid. But it was definitely his best performance. He made himself believable as a doctor, but it seemed really out of place, honestly.
Yeah, it was kind of strange. Like,
other than the explanation, he got interested in dinosaurs because of the power coins. Even though he was a tiger.
Like, it was one of the
he was Gojira.
You could tell. Like, it initially was written as a random person, and then he took the spot. Because, uh-huh. I mean, he became a professor of paleontology in, 5 years.
Yeah.
He's really smart.
which is stupid because he was always portrayed as kind of on the dumber side of things. But
I mean, well, if Billy could finish
because of the footage,
if Billy could do high school at 21 and finish in, you know, 8 years or whatever it was, certainly Tommy could become a paleontologist in 5.
Well, you know, I don't understand why. Like, obviously, the paleontologist doctor science teacher thing works for like a generic plot, but they could have easily changed it so he was just a teacher at the high school. Like, cause the whole, like, him having powers and stuff made sense without the dino theme because of him being Tommy and being an old ranger. He could have just been a teacher. He could have been, like, I don't know, English? I don't know. PE? Psychowits?
I'm like, I wanted to be Miss Appleby and sleep with Zach. Oh.
I think they just wanted him to be a paleontologist to give him a reason to go out with, to be with Mercer and...
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I didn't think about that part. Anthrax? Lisa?
I said Zeltrax, but...
Oh, sorry.
Smitty.
There we go.
That's his brother. Smitty. He's Scotch. I mean, Scotch. Scottish. He's the alcohol.
Scottish.
He's the drummer from Jay Leno.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Tommy, he was good. Like, he took a backseat, but he had a really good presence, and he seemed like a really good, like, mentor leader.
Right.
And he's Tommy. Duh. Winning.
Winning.
All right. I got so happy when I saw he was coming back. I was like, yay, Tommy! He did cool things.
Tommy.
And I loved all the little things they did just to reference it, like when they found his old picture. I don't know why they took a professional picture of all of them in their helmets, but that was still with or without their helmets. That was cool.
Yeah.
And just like little, like not so much references, but just like things about his life where they're like, oh, why do you want to live a quiet life if you're going to be a high school teacher? Just like lines like that where it just kind of alluded to he's had kind of a hectic life.
Yeah.
First being a ranger and then being stalked by like some kind of psycho like guy you were with. That sounded weird. Like the Zeltrax, like being a disgruntled intern. Okay. So Wikipedia say Trent next?
Yep.
Right. Do you want to lead it off, Brian, since you're supposed to?
Sure. Trent, I love Trent. I guess it was probably because
he's Mexican.
He was an artist. And so I liked that.
He likes
burrito. Burrito. But I don't know why. I liked him for some reason. I don't really have a too particular reason. He was the bonus ranger, and I liked the 6 rangers.
He likes bonus. So. Oh, I mean bonus rangers.
He was the boner ranger. And plus, his weapon was a goddamn pen.
A pen sword. Awesome. The pen is mightier than the sword. They should use
that.
They
can fling laser arrows, for God's sake.
I think the actor did a really good job of playing all the aspects, mm-hmm. whether it was like normal everyday, hey, I serve bottles, Trent, to like evil Trent, to like whiny bitch Trent in between. Where he always had this pained look on his face where he looked like Miley Cyrus when he was thinking back to, like, he did a good job of playing all those different angles. And
then playing Tommy, oh.
Yeah, exactly. And then he played Tommy. But it was just, and I love, like, Kevin always brings it up again, like, that we were introduced to him
before.
Was
Mexican?
Oh. Yes, I love Mexicans. No, but I like that we were introduced to him before and we knew him, and he was sort of established as like a quasi-friend. And even though like it was kind of like Liangle, where it was kind of sudden, like we knew it was taking over him, but he was kind of struggling with it, and we never saw a clear moment. He just kind of came back, and he was like, hey, the undead's taking over me now. I'm going to start wearing a fedora and hanging out in some kind of weird nightclub. So, oh, wait. But, yeah, I liked Trent. I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, I agree with Jeffrey Perezzo.
Yeah.
I agree. He played all the aspects of the character perfectly, and a lot of people kind of diss him for some reason. I don't really know why, because I think he did a fantastic job.
Yeah, probably because they made him be Tommy. They're like, no!
No one gets inside. We'll talk about that during SPD. That would be fun.
It's too bad we already have a title for next week. That would be the title. No one gets inside. See, State of Carex 15. You want to be hired? No one gets inside. No one gets inside. We should have all just posted that.
Missed opportunities. But yeah, I think Trent was a great character. And I think they adapted the whole... Avre Killer being like bad almost the entire time kind of thing.
Yeah.
Really well with Will. We can't make him bad the entire time because he's one of our main characters. Okay, let's make a clone and use the footage when we need to. They adapted that perfectly, and we'll get to that with the whole Saban versus Disney thing.
Yeah.
They adapted that great.
And it also brought in a brief drama about how the Rangers didn't immediately trust Trent as soon as he said he was good. Because they're like, oh, he's good. And then the next episode, they thought he was evil again when the clone showed up. And I love the fact that they weren't like generically immediately BFF Facebooks, and they still had a lot of distrust and immediately assumed Trent was a D-bag again.
Yeah, and I like Trent. I like the whole thing just about him, like the whole White Ranger and Trent. And then I remember he becomes good, and I'm like, oh, good. We finally have all five Rangers. Thank God. And then like, haha, clone. Fuck.
There's six of them.
Like, I was just so angry. But then it was good, though. It was fantastic.
Kevin quit life at that point.
I did. But it's okay because I have 9 lives, so...
He's one of their cats. He's Moochie. I don't know. I tried to sneak in those references. Okay, so supporting characters?
Yeah.
Should we just talk about Cassidy and Gavin together unless Wikipedia lists something different first?
They list Haley first, but I agree we should talk about Cassidy and Devin first. They're the most important.
I think they should be together, though. Yeah, I mean, like, not like a super thing, but like talk about them.
They're dynamic. I really like them. They were Bulk and Skull in season 2, done in a high school environment with characters that were more accurate to what they should kind of be like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, Bulk and Skull went from bullies to, let's find out who they are and expose them.
And it made sense that they were like news reporters. So
and yeah, they were news reporters, so they wanted to get the scoop because they wanted to eventually, when they got out of high school, be hired because they're the people that find out who the Power Rangers were. Because apparently people care about that. So,
they do.
Like,
except for in Samurai, because there's only been Samurai Rangers.
Like, I think it was just they were great. They played off each other well.
Yeah.
And like they each had their high points, they each had their low points.
We were like, look, it's Mara. Oh.
And the comedy was done better. Like, I like the style
their
of comedy.
Their comedy
better.
Was great. I liked it.
I so did I. Like, I love the comedy in these seasons more, and that's also for the next time. But it was I actually laughed at it instead of being like, oh, hey, look, they did stuff.
Like, the only time I ever really cringed when Cassie was around was that kid.
Oh, God, the evil demon Scottish alien kid.
Hi, lady.
Oh, God. I thought I was crazy the first time I watched that.
I thought I was losing it. I'm like, what? That voice can't come out of that. No, that's not how it works.
What the fuck? Seriously.
I think I hid under the bed.
I still have nightmares about that kid. Oh my God, that was...
But, and then it was so funny because it was something we didn't mention in the team-up was how, like, because Capri and Mara were there for the team-up, and so at the end, like, they pass each other.
I'm
and
so much prettier.
I know, and so she was also Mara, and it was fantastic, but it was good, and she had different colored hair than last time to set her apart.
That makes sense. I also love that, not love, but I thought it was good, like, at the end that they finally found out, unlike Bulk and Skull, who found out after they changed casts, and that they were nice about it and protected their friend's secret.
Yeah, and also, because they really didn't like them too much at the beginning either, but then came to like them at the end.
Yeah, like, oh, we're they friends. Handled Cassidy's kind of like, oh, I'm just a snob reporter, transitioned to kind of like a nice person by the end, right, with like her relationship with Ethan helped that along.
Yeah.
And that, they did a good job with that.
Like, she changed. It was a lot faster than like Connor's change and stuff, but it was still handled pretty well, and she had fairly good reasons to why she did like the changes and stuff, so.
Yeah, because like they kind of planted the seeds there with Ethan and everything and just various moments. You know what? Ethan planted his seeds in her, and she had a little black baby, okay?
Yay.
Devin is now raising it. They named him Lutrell.
Devin's raising it.
They named him a G.
Oh, God.
And then he responded with bad acting, as usual.
Yep. That's all I really have to say, I think.
That's all I really have to say for them, too. I enjoyed the hell out of them.
They were fun.
They were. Well, that was fun.
Now, Haley?
Yeah. Haley was weird.
Haley could be easily confused with the girl from Ninja Storm, because they looked similar. They both have the same hair color.
She was in Ninja Storm.
Haley was?
Yeah, she was, like, the reporter when they were covering like the X Games or whatever.
Oh, really?
It was only one episode, but she was there.
That's probably not good.
I liked her, but I mean, I just feel like she didn't really have too much development or anything. She was just basically like the female Billy from Zio.
Yeah, she was Cam. She was Cyber Cam. Yeah. So when Tommy left, she took over the command base.
I feel like she was in command even when Tommy was there.
Pretty much.
She wore the pants.
She wore the pants in the family.
She's like, Tommy, sit down. Yes, ma'am.
But she was a good, like, supporting, you know, role who kind of ran the juice bar-ish thing and was back at Tommy's place. I don't know if she lived with them or what, but...
I don't know what she did, but...
I don't know. She replaced Kat.
But, I mean, she was a good actress. The character was good. I mean, they gave reasons to why she was smart. I mean, she was an MIT graduate.
Yeah.
And, like, she had actual merits to why she was intelligent. She wasn't just random, like, oh, I'm Billy, I'm smarter than fuck.
I'm smarter than fuck.
I was trying to find a metaphor, not a metaphor, but a...
analogy?
And analogy, and I couldn't find it at all, so I just quit. I just replaced it with fuck and moved on.
That's usually what we do around here.
But I really liked her. She was a good character, just didn't really do too much in terms of... She drove the truck.
She drove the truck. Well,
she drove the semi at the end of the show.
The joystick. I want to drive Chuck with a Chuck. I want to drive Chuck with a joystick. That sounds wrong. What is wrong with me in this episode? Anyway.
Oh God.
Any other characters I'm forgetting?
Does anyone else have anything to say about Haley?
No, I mean she built them things.
Okay.
I mean, that's pretty much it.
Last is there. Well, we'll talk about Mercer when we talk about Mezugog.
Yeah, because there's no other supporting characters, really.
Nope.
Except for that demon kid, if we want to talk about him some more.
Hi, lady.
Oh, God.
You want your type. You give me whatever the hell the kid wanted.
You give me a better voice. Oh, God. We do not approve of kitty porn here at RRR, in RRR.
No one gets inside.
No one gets inside. Especially kids. Anyway.
Okay, so Firenze.
Firenze. Well, now we're going to talk about Mercer anyway, so what was the point of that dabbling?
Okay, Mezugog. Well, I'll talk about Mercer first. Mercer reminded me kind of Wes's dad.
Yeah.
But just a little bit different.
He was kind of more cold rather than like a dick.
Because he was less of a dick and more cold, but at the same time, it was understandable that he was cold because he was being controlled by a weird dinosaur guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, most of, like, he was easy to forgive him given the circumstances of what was going on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, other than that, there really wasn't too much to talk about Mercer as a whole. Because once he was split from Mezugog, he didn't really do anything.
He didn't do anything except for, like, hang off Trent's shoulder all wounded. And then he showed up at prom to have a pig night.
Yeah, that was strange.
But Mezugog was a fantastic villain.
He's got to be like one of the, if not the most unique villain origin ever.
He was unique.
And he was frightening.
His origin story was great. His outfit was frightening.
And voice was frightening.
Yeah, his voice was frightening. He was like...
Zeldrax.
He was
Bring me
two,
more Pop-Tarts.
He was like season 2 Lord Zedd, except... more
with
evil,
his balls.
More
he
threatening.
Balls.
More balls. More brain, which is weird because Zedd was brain.
Zedd was a meat brain.
But, I mean, Mezugog was probably one of, if not my favorite villain.
Oh, I love Mezugog. And then he was in Robot Chicken.
But, like, his origin just so unique, like, with, Mercer working on that formula that turned him into Mezugog, and it created this like personality split.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, Mezugog's not like he's like a split off of Mercer. He's not even like a little person that invaded him.
Yeah.
It's not weird, a little person that invaded him, but like there's all kinds of sexual innuendos tonight. But like that's a really like creepy thing to think about, and it's just so unique. And like the fact that he wanted to turn the Earth into back to the Dino Age instead of just destroy it, like. Tommy said, well, I can't just want to destroy the Earth like all the other sickos.
Yeah.
Like, there was a, it's great to have a villain that had a different motivation beyond, I just want to blow shit up, blah, 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 blah. Like, well, what are you going to do after you blow it up? I don't know. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Shut up. You're dead now. But he just, it was so great, like, honestly. So his final, like, transformation thing was a bit weird.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. But and it seemed kind of rushed, put together, that he's like, oh, I'll just absorb the energy and become a mutant. And then, like, attack you with an extra long neck. But it was such a great and unique villain.
Yeah. So pretty.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll take that as a, you don't have anything to say.
Well, that I already haven't said. I mean, Masakaki.
He said he's pretty, damn it. Okay, let's move on. He's
want to touch the hiney.
Okay, so. Elsa. Okay, Randall was a lesbian.
Pretty sure.
Haircuts don't lie.
Why, I don't know why I said that.
She's the spawn of Taylor and Katie and Kelsey.
All at the same time. Like, she was just a bitch. I'm like, you were the worst principal I've ever seen in my life. But I don't, I mean, I don't, there really isn't too much to go over as far as, like, Randall's concerned. But other than where the fuck did Randall come from? Like, is that her actual name or did she just make it up?
Both. Her name is
know.
Doll, and she added the ran, or reversed. That was stupid, and I'm sorry about that. That was a dumb joke.
She really likes Clerks, and her favorite character was Randall, so that's what she got the name from.
Okay. So, Elsa was a fairly decent female villain. Like, she had a weird thing going on with Tommy.
Yeah.
And then she had a weird thing going on with Mercer, so I don't really know what was going on with,
like,
her.
What was I going to say? We'll talk about it, or not talk about it, but mention it, whoever wrote it in the comments about the season, but someone mentioned that it was kind of neat to have a villain so close to the Rangers, like being the principal, and they didn't know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was cool. Like, she bothered me because other than being, like, a slave, she had no motivations, and we never got an explanation of who she was and how she got recruited to all of this.
Wasn't she one of Mercer's assistants?
I don't remember that ever being mentioned. Because wouldn't Tommy know about her and recognize her?
Well, that would make sense.
Because, yeah. Like, she's like, hey, I'm a dyke bitch teacher who just is a dyke and runs around doing dyke stuff. It's a dyke like 5 times. And then she becomes evil, and then when she turns good again, she has long hair and is no longer a dyke.
Yeah.
Just say dyke one more time. Dyke.
She changed her sexual orientation.
But, like, it just seemed odd that we never got any explanation of how this seemingly normal lady just got, like, zapped up and turned into, like, an evil, like, dyke warrior.
Also, her hair was plastic.
Yeah, I know. You can always tell when they come off. Like, stop. You're embarrassing yourself. She reminds me of the bowling chick from Mystery Men in her first look. But it would have been nice to get some kind of explanation as to that.
Yeah, I looked at Ranger Central and Wikipedia, and neither of them tell me who Elsa was, so.
As if she was, like, maybe she really was just an evil bitch, and she just pretended to be nice at the end and then just scurried off. It felt to me kind of like something in Dragon Knight, where they had something planned, but they just didn't have time or money to finish it off. Like, it felt like just one of those Dragon Knight loose ends. Was anyone going to say anything, or just...
I don't know. I was getting the...
Brian just zoned out.
I was getting the posts on the forum loaded. Okay.
Do that. The load posts.
All right. So, Smitty.
Smitty.
Smitty was disgruntled, and eventually, as Kevin said, he
psychotic.
Decided to play drums for Jay Leno.
And then become a colonel and a ninja master.
Yeah.
He was black.
He was everything. He was a ninja master, then a disgruntled
ninja. It's so funny seeing that dude in, like, a little ninja cap, honestly. Anyway, go ahead.
I don't know. He was a bitch. He was disgruntled.
He was a bitch. He was disgruntled.
Like,
what?
He was just pissed because Tommy got whatever he wanted, and I don't know. I didn't like
that. Honestly, that was a dumb motivation. Like, Zeltrax's voice and suit and, like potential as a rival for Tommy was good. Like, if you don't think about his backstory, he was cool. But the motivation behind it was clearly designed before Tommy came back. What the hell? Like, he didn't get picked for an internship, so he turned himself into a cyborg? what the hell? Or Mezogog helped reconstructed him or whatever. It's just, I remember people were like, oh, he's going to be Goldar's spirit. I would have rather had that than Goldar's spirit or something other than him just being some disgruntled college student that went insane. It was kind of like Frax's backstory, but stupid. And I just never liked it. It, like, cheapened everything for me. He's like, you stole my job. And Tommy's like, dude, get a life. I am Tommy. I am the greatest fucker here. You don't mess with me. He's like, it's all that has kept me going. I'm like, wow. You need a life, dude. How do you go to the bathroom in that thing? So stupid. Okay. And he had a son. Fake son.
Yeah.
Golden boy.
I forgot about him.
Golden boy.
He's like, hey, look, I'm Speedy. Not Smitty and Speedy. Sandwich.
Speedy. No, I made up that they're...
Oh, I thought you thought I said Spitty and you were laughing at me. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. The Tyrannodrones.
I like that they came up with their own putties again, or henchmen. I always call the henchmen putties in Power Rangers. I'm sorry. That's like the default name for henchmen. But I like they came up with their own again. But they were just kind of like melted things with claws. That's what they look like to me.
And the Triptoids were stupid.
Yeah, they were from Aubra Ranger, and they're from the video game, and they did their little march thing, and Zeltrax was like, brah. They looked stupid.
I knocked things over.
Stop dropping stuff. Okay. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yes. Okay, next.
Morph?
I love the Morph.
Kevin,
I like
do you
it.
Love the Morph?
Oh, fuck. Kevin, do you love the Morph? Yeah. Hey, man.
I love them.
Wake up.
I'm awake. I'm very sorry.
I'm very excited.
I zoned out for a few minutes. I have no idea where we are.
Talk about the Morph.
The Morph was cool. There was volcanoes and there was dinosaurs.
I love volcanoes.
I love dinosaurs.
That's all right. And then Trent was all, I'm Epic Freeze Ray.
Okay, now, seriously, these are, like, the most overdramatic morphs ever. They, like, do 5 backflips in the air and then land and make a crater.
That's epic, though.
It
badass.
Fine.
Like, I liked it, because it looked cool.
It looked cool, yeah. I mean, it was overdone unnecessarily, but it looked cool.
Okay. We'll go with that.
Although, I want to know why they had to say ha at the end of the thing, why Donathan, their power-up wasn't enough. They had to go, ha!
Ha!
So they could laugh. And
I don't approve of them laughing.
Fight their enemies.
Approve of them laughing.
I like how Tommy didn't say ha, though. He just kind of went, shoved the key in. He was like,
It's like, oh, bullshit.
And I also like how when Trent would get in a big group, he would say Dino Thunder power up, even though that wasn't his morphing call, because he felt left out.
Yeah. He was all White Ranger, Dino Power.
Sorry, my morph for Gold Power.
Oh, God.
Gold Power. It's the same thing.
Pretty much.
Right.
Okay, so, Suits is next? Suits.
The suits are the shiznit.
I love these suits.
They're so pretty. I love them.
The Drago Ranger suit, going over to him quick, is one of my all-time favorite suits.
I love that I'm...
Absolutely.
It's so badass.
White Ranger is just epic with the red visor and then the black, and then, especially when you put it in Super Dino mode...
He gets like blades on his arms.
I know.
You were awesome.
But the suits were really well done. They look like Neo MMPR, at least in nature.
Like that's what they always remind me of too, because it still kind of had like a diamond design going on under their arms.
But and they were really simple and neat, and Tommy's was really cool, obviously they had nothing to do with the suits. But Aubrey Killer's looking different made sense since the powers were created by Mezogog.
Mm-hmm.
And that was cool. And they were just really great suits.
Okay, so Arsenal Morphers, the Dino Morphers, we'll start with.
So
the Morphers
cool.
were faces that you wore on your wrist.
Well,
and they were so cool because
just
the
lump
plates
all the Morphers together. So
go
for it.
Well, they were so cool because the plates could change when they went through different Zords. Mm-hmm. So they were like, you know.
I think what Kevin's getting at is
and then it would turn into the Dimetro.
They didn't do that enough in the show.
Yeah, they should have done it more. And it's mostly only Tommy's that did it.
Yeah. Like, I would have liked to see more of the faceplate switching out when they were summoning other Zords.
Sort of on a side note of that, I liked their little bracelets. Kinda
those
like
were it. Awesome. I still want a goddamn prop of those.
There was they've made some, but there was a thread on Ranger Board about like a joint project between Out of Time and somebody else to get interest, and they got a lot of interest, so I hope they make it.
I know people made one. The Dino gems themselves, but I never saw any bracelets with the gems.
Yeah,
just like the gems.
I think I might have the Dino gems.
But I don't. I kind of wish I did because they're cool.
I want bracelets.
Gems. I want powers.
I want a white one just wearing around everywhere. But
those are cool. They're like a throwback to the communicator, sort of, but they're their own thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Made it seem like they're all in a super cool club.
Plus the fact that they don't have to wear giant bulky wristwatches around everywhere.
Yeah, because that's one thing that bugged me about Ninja Storm. We talked about that.
Oh, yeah, they're just like
they
muffers
walk
like
giant dinosaurs on their wrists.
I know. That would look weird. Like, dude, is that a toy? No.
No.
What if someone ever got bored and, like, pressed it? Like, Dustin's like, oh, yeah, you can see here we got the bike section, and then what's this? Oh, shit. It's like when Ben answered, I don't know, I had a joke. And then I said ants, and I don't know what happened.
All right, so we'll talk about the Triassic Morpher and the Battleizer after.
Okay.
The weapon, or their sidearms were cool.
They were kind of like a throwback to MMPR as well.
Yeah, they were an updated Blade Blaster, because they turned into a sword and gun.
Except it was cooler, I actually prefer it.
I like it better too, I think it's pretty well designed. I like it.
It was a better kind of sword, it was all curvy and stuff.
Yeah, the Blade Blaster was just kind of like a little stick.
It was a gun that just had like a quarter chub come out. Stupid.
Their individual weapons.
They were like meh. Like they weren't anything spectacular.
They were okay. I liked, like I said, I really liked White Ranger's.
I was talking about the main three. Like I liked Drago's sword. It was cool.
I liked the Brachio staff.
Yeah.
Energy orb. Energy orb.
He can make
energy
earthquake.
Orb. Sorry.
Energy orb. Fuck.
He spammed the shit out of energy orb.
But yeah, the main three were kind of
the
mad.
Cannon was stupid. It was like a shield, and you fold the Tyrannosaurus thing around and just stick the Terra things on the side, and then you shoot.
Yeah, it was stupid, but it was also cool that as they added the other two Rangers, they could add their weapons to it for more power.
Yeah.
So that was cool about it.
It was like one of the less elegantly designed ones. They're just like, I know, we'll just like fold this over it and then stack stuff. But the Black Ranger and White Ranger's weapons were cool.
Energy orb.
Energy orb! I think Connor tried to do that one time. He was like, Tyranno staff, energy orb! And Tommy's like, that's my thing, you bitch. And then he slapped him and he never did it again. True story. Energy orb!
Energy orb. Okay, so Super Dino Mode was really cool.
I like that they, because in Alba Ranger, I haven't seen it, but I know that that was available from the beginning. And I like that they turned it into a power-up.
Yeah. It happened early on, but it was still something that they kind of had to work for.
Yeah, and it made sense, like with the spikes coming out, and mm-hmm.
and they didn't all get them at once either. Like they each had to.
Yeah.
And Trent's was awesome.
Trent's was awesome.
Tommy's like.
I mean, Tommy didn't get his till he came back from being dead.
Tommy's like, energy orb, gold power.
But no, I like the Super Dino modes. It was cool. We'll do the Triassic Ranger next. His shield was pretty cool.
Yeah, the shield
was pretty heavy shield.
And it took him to a weird dimension.
It had a bonus like sword thing attached to it.
Yeah, that was cool. And like he took him to the Triassic dimension where there's
it was,
lights, and
Prism
like,
Vicar
random dancing. I was doing an iCarly.
Prism Vicar.
It's Prism Vicar 1.0.
It kind of was. They had to dump all their power into it.
And then when they were in the Zords, and there was some of them, like, the points would turn into those heads and stuff, and that was cool, too, with it.
Dumpu.
And, like, the Triassic Ranger suit was cool. Yeah. It reminded me, like, of Quantum's where it could be its own Ranger, like, upgrade.
Yeah.
And it was cool because they took, like, okay, his suit's Tyranno-based, and then they would change it into, like, the other dinosaur, and I was like, well, that was cool.
I thought you were going to know the name.
I do, and I can't think of it. Like
the other dinosaur. I don't know the name either, but I just thought it was funny. Usually you know so many things. Mesodon.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's the Mesodon, but like, what exactly the dinosaur is that goes with it? I'm trying to think.
I'm going
to
call it the Mesosaurus.
Mesosaurus Rex.
Or the Conosaurus.
Styracosaurus, that's it.
There you go.
Styria Bakerysaurus?
Okay. Styrofoamsaurus.
Okay. The other dinosaur.
Alright, so the Triassic Morpher wasn't anything awesome. It was just basically the Dinomorpher with a different color and a new plate.
But I bought it because it had plates that were different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what's that if we just buy stuff?
Okay, I hate this Battleizer. Hey,
you guys like gimmicks? No.
Sucks.
I hate this Battleizer.
It makes
so
no
much
sense for the theme.
It doesn't match
but
dinosaurs.
Last just cannons on his shoulders.
Like he got cannons and he had a dragon.
That discussion.
A damn dragon it! Yo-yo. One at a time. Fuck.
Dragon yo-yo.
Dragon yo-yo.
You don't like dragon yo-yo? That
no
was fantastic.
It was just really stupid. It
he
didn't fit the theme.
Go-Go Gadget legs, Go-Go Gadget arms, a yo-yo, and some cannons on his back.
I mean, it didn't even look like a Kamen Rider Final Form.
Cannons? Fives Blaster had those cannons.
What's still? Fives Blaster looks more like a repaint.
Like, the only thing that I question the necessity of is the Go-Go Gadget arms and legs. Like, I could tolerate Dragon Yo-Yo more than I can tolerate the fact that he suddenly can go Mr. Fantastic on them.
That, I agree. Like, I think if they got rid of that, I would have tolerated it more.
I also hate the explanation. Like, there's always, like, a storyline for him. This one, he's just like, Super Saiyan 3! And he screams for, like, 45 minutes, and it's like, da-na-na-na-na-na. And Boo's like, oh! And then he's got long hair. Oh, shit. No, but like the explanation was that like, oh, you have a greater power inside you, and it's like Go-Go Gadget.
He had
like
to save his hoe.
Faux show, Brotos before Hotos, man. But it just
really
I didn't like
to get
the
him some for that tree, and so he went Battleizer.
Especially after like last year's with Shane, where they had like a storyline designed around it.
Plus, it looked cool.
And like, yeah. Plus, it wasn't gay. Like Dr. Maki's lights. But yeah, I didn't like it.
Alright. They had Raptor Riders and Raptor Cycles and ATVs and a hovercraft.
ATVs and CTV.
And a truck.
And Comcast. Okay, let me say this. I like the Raptor Cycles. I think they look cool. The lasers come out of fucking nowhere. But I felt they were unnecessary because it was really cool that they just rode Raptors.
Yeah, like the cycles were made here because they wanted to give them a motorcycle toy.
So yeah, but I just felt it was unnecessary.
And they hatched the Raptors. Like, that was just so cool. Like, we're going to hatch the Raptors.
They hatched
and
the Raptors. They hatched the Raptors, used them once, and then forgot about
I
them.
I want to ride into town with a Raptor.
Them.
That'd be so. That's like the best form of transportation
I know,
ever. Just a Raptor.
Right up to GameStop. Give me my DVDs back.
Or I will fist you.
Or I will stick Fluffy on you. The ATVs were kind of neat, though. They were built by Trent, weren't they?
Did you? Yeah, they were. They were a gift from Trent.
Yeah,
they were
gift.
Pretty cool.
But he was evil at the time. But anyway. Yeah. Did you realize how much shit Tommy had? He had a Raptor, a motorcycle, and an ATV.
He
didn't
had a
get
motorcycle.
A motorcycle. He didn't get one.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
There goes your point.
He
shenanigans.
He had a toy cycle. I don't know.
I have the toy cycle because it was Tommy, and it looked cool in the store. But I just, like, I like the Raptor cycles. They look cool. I just wish they
and
were
it looked cool in the store.
You know what? I like Dino Thunder, so I bought it, okay? It was
that
shiny.
That was funny.
Do we ever have any better reasoning for buying any of the stuff we have? Hey,
no?
Look pretty. Bye.
I do like the fact that Ethan got like his own cool cycle.
Yeah, the hovercraft cycle.
Yeah, even though it was kind of pointless and to sell toys, it was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was just cool that he wasn't like belonging to Red.
Yeah, Kira's like, ah, fuck.
Kira could fly on her own. She didn't need a hover cycle.
That's true. That's true.
And then, just like Ninja Storm, they had to have a big semi to sell.
But it made more sense.
The leftover Ninja Storm semis got converted into the Dino Thunder semis, like, to try to sell it again.
Because they were just like, big dinosaur truck, we're going to come get you.
Well, it was like what they did with Lost Galaxy, where they had all those, like, space and turbo toys. They just repainted them. Put a new sticker on it and sold it.
And I thought the truck looked better than in Dino Thunder. I mean, Ninja Storm.
It was cool.
I just like that the truck had a giant laser attached to it.
And that it was controlled by a joystick inside of a truck.
Like, it's awesome likes using joysticks.
Fuck steering wheels. But anyway.
Did you just speed all over his steering wheel?
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Alright, so, Zords. Just to kind of not really pinpoint any of them in particular, like, I liked them all.
Yeah, they were really cool designs.
Like, this is one of the series, like, I really do want to complete with my Zords, just because, like, all the dinosaurs were cool.
Yeah, they were, like...
The thing I liked about it is, first of all, they were all different colors and different... Yeah. Make me happy.
It was kind of like Bokenger and Overdrive, with all the individual vehicles being different colors and stuff. I thought that was neat.
Yeah, and then not only that, but, okay, we're doing a dinosaur season, so we don't just have... Okay, we have Tyranno, Tricera, and Terra. So we made Epic Barney. So we're fine, and then Brachio comes in. Okay, fine, we got Titanus, and he carries them. But then, like, they used a bunch of different dinosaurs
that aren't famous.
And me being a... I knew half of them.
Well, I guess Stegosaurus are famous.
Me being a dinosaur person, I knew Dimetrodons and Paraceropholises and Ankylosauruses. I didn't know a Pachycephalosaurus, though. I'd never heard of that until... Little purple punchy boy came out.
I didn't know they were boxers either. They were like kangaroos version 1.0, but
yeah. But then that was so cool. And then the combining gimmick, and then the Styracosaurus Mesodon crawler rover thing with a, I don't know what the fuck it was carrying. It was pulling. But then how those four combined with that, and it saves you space in your closet because two of them just go in the legs.
And it was like the Wild Zords, but not ridiculous, overdone.
Yeah, it wasn't too overdone. There wasn't as many combinations.
And then White Ranger had his, like, Pterodactyl ripoff. It was really cool. And his
individual at all.
And then the Dino Stegosaur was fantastic. Like, it was just so, I like that look.
Yeah. I like the looks of all of the
And I love how simple it was, like, the, he just flies down, grabs the stego, and then he stands it up.
Yeah, he's like, kink, kink.
All right, we're done.
But yeah, I really, really, really liked the Zords for this season.
Absolutely.
Some of my favorites.
And just last thing, I like that the Thundersaurus Megazord isn't typical Megazord. It has a drill for a hand. It's not just like, hey, look, we have hands. It's epic.
Yeah. And it could do double drill action, and it was cool. I love how the drill would go inside of the body when she would combine that arm. It was like a little kid trying to pretend he had no arm, like, look, no, I swear it's not here, it's not in my shirt.
It's not in my shirt, I swear.
And then there was that other one, that evil one thing, I don't know.
That showed up for like one episode. I think it was a bigger deal in Alba Ranger.
Yeah, it just came out of the
lake and got pwned, I think.
It was the movie Mech and Abba Ranger, and I have it. It's pretty cool. Baka Reino's awesome, but...
Idiot Megazord. Baka.
That was cool, too.
Oh, Big Fat Liar's on. Okay, sorry. So, ready to move on?
Yeah. So, music?
Music.
Power Rangers Roar.
I love this theme so much.
I love it.
It's so different, which is what makes it awesome.
It's stuck in my head constantly.
There is a light in the distance.
You can see them coming closer.
It's the force of ages.
Centuries gone by.
It sounded like we were doing like a sermon at church, but just saying it like that.
Like, I really like it. Like, they're the defenders of the right and for the protectors.
And they even say, win, because they're like, duh, winning. The song. It was great.
It's another one of those songs that, like, gets you full of energy.
I know. Yeah, you're just excited.
I always get pumped when the episode comes on. It's like, yeah, and it's all.
It's all like, did. I'm like, yeah.
Kick some ass. Let's do this.
As for the background score, just like Ninja Storm, Disney continued to do good background music that really fit the tone of Dino Thunder. And it wasn't. It had kind of more rock music, sort of like Ninja Storm, but not like that extreme feel. And they had some really cool like background songs. Like I love their civilian fight, like epic, like super fast electric guitar song. Like I love that. It's so epic. It's like dun 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 dun. It's really cool. And like the music when Connor became Triassic Ranger was all epic and like
rock. Oh yeah.
It's not as like headbanging as the Ninja Storm. Dun 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 dun. But it was still great.
And then plus they let Kira sing several times.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool too. Like they actually had someone on the cast that was like a singer. And they're like, okay, let's use that to our advantage.
Yeah, as opposed to like, oh, you have talent? Oh, fuck you. No, they actually let her sing like several times, and it was always fun when Kira would sing. I'd get so happy.
They even closed the series out with it.
Yeah.
But the background music was really well done. Dino Thunder has some of my favorite like fight scene musics, and it's just I like it. They did a good job. It really fit the tone of it.
Probably some of my favorite music overall, mostly because of Amalahana, but.
Oh, and also, I don't think I mentioned it really last time, but I like how they have the villain's own tone. Like, Mezugawa had that dun dun dun.
Oh, yeah.
And Lothar had his own music. Like, it was great the way they did that and kind of gave him their own, like, Darth Vader-y tone type deal.
Yeah.
Anyway. It was good.
Those little things where you hear that dun dun dun, you're like, oh, fuck.
It's Mezugawa. Time for Pop-Tarts.
Alright, so final thoughts.
I'll go first since there's a pause.
Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
So Dino Thunder is one of my favorites. Just like I said, I thought would happen during Time Force, Dino Thunder took the second spot when I was rewatching it again. It was just so fun. Like, it was just such a great season. It was so fun to watch. Like, Ninja Storm, it's one of my favorites to watch. It had a lot of intrigue about it, and then, like, Tommy being a reference to the past, and just so many things that really have never been done in other seasons, with, like, the Sentai reference episode and Tommy coming back. And also, it's one of the best uses of footage. Like, and I love that they explained for the crazy-ass Abba Ranger monsters that they were, like, fusions of a bunch of random shit they just found. And it was one of the most like I said, great use of footage, like taking the Ob Ranger plot, throwing it out the window, and actually making it have its own great story. I just love it. It's just awesome. It's my second favorite season of all time.
To save time, what you said. Honestly, like, I couldn't say it any different than you did without just repeating myself, because I feel the exact same way.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's my second favorite season, but it's definitely in my top five.
Yeah. It always goes between that and Time Force.
Just let him go.
I'm sorry.
Damn it. Dino Thunder is definitely in my top. I really liked it, and you know, like I said, they have the different stories, Legacy of Power, and all those fun things that it had, and then a lot of it is like the Disney doing good. Like I don't like Ninja Storm was kind of like their. You know, they're starting out and trying to start out. And this is them, okay, building on that and doing cool things with it. And the characters were good. The actors were good. Everything in it just seemed generally, I don't know, good. Like Dawson said, they used the footage well. They had the story. They had just a lot of different things going for it. And not just one thing in particular. Like, oh, well, the suits were good, but this sucked. Or... you know, the Zords were great, but this sucked. Like, then they had a bunch of different things working together to make the show good.
To win.
Yeah. Not just, oh, look, it's Tommy, and the show's good. Like, no, there was a lot more than just that.
Yeah, like, basically everything just kind of led to goodness. All right, so moving along to the viewers, to whatever the fuck it's called.
The viewers, the viewers, whatever the fuck.
That's viewers' the opinions, or whatever. What did I call this? I don't remember.
The things viewers, that don't really matter, but we do it so people feel important. Yeah, yeah.
Viewers' thoughts, yeah, that was it.
Yay, I solved the mystery. Do I get a candy?
No.
Fuck.
Okay. So for this round and all future segments of this, just to kind of ease the time, I mean, we can't read everyone's So what we're going to do is each of us are going to pick three, so my throat just died. Nine posts total. I can't believe I did that.
Brian, what did we tell you about swallowing?
Are going to be read. So...
That was too good.
Nine throats.
Derp.
Okay. So I will begin with my three posts. I will be reading Sungle Boys first. He's going to ramble a bit like Kiefer, except quite a bit shorter. He said, first off, when I heard of Dino Thunder, whoa, new MMPR? Yeah, that's pretty much what everyone thought, I think.
Yeah.
Except for the people that didn't.
And he was like, oh, Tommy? Yeah. And he was
Tommy?
Like,
Tommy?
At first, I thought Jason David Frank was playing another role until episode 4, where they commemorate PR's 500th episode. That thus somewhat inspires Kamen Rider's 1,000th episode, huh? I'm just messing up all together. No, I don't think that inspired anything. Anyway, the characters, man, every single one of them is awesome! The characters really played a strong role. Well, that's their job. I mean, Connor, a jock, really is a jock. Imagine that. Unlike a future PR series that indicates the Red Ranger can fix anything but did not show it at all, Jungle Fury. Well, about that, like, that was going off of the little character description that was on, like, Disney's site or something, and they basically used, like, the earliest casting call ever and posted on their site, so
Pretty much.
I wouldn't fault anyone on that.
Should have been suspicious when their name was Tuttle, so...
But like I said, Connor really is a strong example of a cocky ranger.
Cock.
Something I hope Samurai's Mike and future Ghost Sager's Black Ranger can handle. Kiva's the finest example of teenage girls today. Well, not really. More like Miley Cyrus. AKA slut.
Victoria Justice, knees and such.
And to be honest, she's the strongest female character I've ever seen besides Gen Z and Sid. So then she isn't the strongest female character you've ever seen. Anyway.
I wouldn't throw Sid in there. Good lord.
Sid,
that's for next week.
Sid had moments and then opposite moments. Quite opposite moments.
I actually had to think about who Sid was for just a second. I was thinking of a guy. I was like, what?
As for Ethan, he's just like Cam, who I liked a lot. Both of them are neat. Tommy, enough said. To be honest, I like Tommy a lot in Dino Thunder compared to previous seasons.
That's not in there.
I'm not going to be able to live up to these readings. First the throat, and now the burping.
Sorry, I can't do this tonight. In previous seasons, MMPR especially, it's always about Tommy. I really hate Tommy when he became the White Ranger. I prefer green myself. But I really liked him when he became the Black Ranger. Trent, a ranger... Wow, I looked at the line above it. Trent, I can see as a younger version of Tommy, given that he was once evil. The four new characters are really 21st century versions of MMPR characters. Yay.
They cut out the bad ones.
As for the Arsenal Zords, they're badass. While Wild Force clusterfucks everything, I don't think they did. Wild Force didn't do anything like that, really, but... Dino Thunder keeps everything in check. All the Zords are useful. My favorite is Drago, Cephala, and Dimetro. I do agree that the Dino Thunder Zords all had purposes. Some of the Wild Force Zords were just kind of there, but... villains, Mezogog is really vile. Fuck yeah, he is. Bad would make an SH figure after Power Rangers, Mezogog and Zeltrax are one of the choices I would want. They could make
Zeltrax. He's like a master of vile.
Oh. Zeltrax is a master of being disgruntled.
Elsa, she reminds me of Astronema since she's a servant, I think, question mark. Team up, it's really good. I really loved it, A to Z. Haha, rider joke. The most exciting thing, too, is to see what the Thunder Rangers and Tommy team up, man, neat. Overall, Jonathan remains one of the most successful, in my opinion, most successful Disney-era PR. The characters is what I like the most, and having a pseudo-anniversary series really makes it shine. I really hope Guardian Angels, that's what I call Ghost Sager adaption. It is not confirmed to be adapted yet, don't make any assumptions. Would have the same five being a pseudo-anniversary homage to past seasons and really strong characters. So my next reading is from... Zio Red. He said, well, I feel personally DT was Disney's best season. I think a lot of people probably think that. The fact that we're back to something like MMPR but on a more modern scale was amazing. The return of Tommy is probably why the season is loved, but I look past that even though he was awesome. The reason I like the series is because I can feel it can relate to teens today. Maybe then. I don't think so much now, but maybe when it was airing. But...
At least to Miley Cyrus.
It takes a spin on how teens would really react. Connor reacted like this is, like, I can't read it all. Connor reflected this the awesome. Most with his soccer, and Krista, Kira somewhat with her music, and Trent with his art. The outfits were cool, yet were somewhat bland, but it still worked. So they were half and half, they were like double.
They're like milk.
Oh. the weapons were reminiscent to those of MMPR. No.
What? No.
Oh, individual weapons that made a cannon. Okay. Help with our continued reading instead of just going off in thought.
Yeah.
Yes, we've had this for past seasons, but it felt more nostalgic with this season, probably due to the fact they were all not guns or swords, they're all different weapons. Super Dino Mode is a sexy mofo. Fuck yeah.
I agree.
A great power-up, I'm glad it was used later on, unlike Abba Ranger. The Zords were awesome. It took Wild Force, made it affordable. I just wish they could utilize the arm-switching effects more. I do agree. I don't think they used them as much in the show as they really could have. White Ranger was a great, great throwback to the original Green Ranger. Just an unrelated side note, I totally have sexy time with Kira. Just saying dibs. No, you do not get dibs. No. Bad Zeo Rag. Go in the corner.
Yeah, are our fans dogs now?
Everything in general was a great throwback to MMPR, and it's nice to see that the original idea...
Well, you sped up to Dawson speed there for a second.
That didn't work. Again, others may not agree, but I feel this is Disney's best season. People bash Disney a lot, but realistically, they made some better seasons than Saban. This is a prime example. And then, Rastri, I'm showing a bit of bias in reading my friend Jeff's post.
I've never heard of this, Jeff. What are you talking about?
Nepotism.
Shut up. Right, so, it's kind of a lot of the same, but I mean, the way the White Ranger was introduced and Tommy's whole history, he's one actually of the few people that mentioned the whole history thing. Cassie and Devin were like Bulk and Spike done right. I agree in the fact that I really wish Bulk and Spike and Samurai had a better dynamic than.
Dynamic.
Fuck you.
Night dynamic.
I did not need that.
Bulk dynamic. Now, Bulk and Skull were the original duo. Now we have these two basically doing what they did, but doing it right. Not like how they're handling Bulk and Spike.
Bike.
I like the characters, and then once again he gets ahead of himself, saying about the SPD team up. We'll cover that next week.
Well, slow down, Jeff.
Yeah, stop getting ahead of yourself.
spoilers.
Crappy those team ups were later, but. Like the team up with Ninja Storm, probably second favorite team up. Comments about the Inspector Gadget Battleizer.
I totally ripped that off in the drink.
And he liked the whole principal being the bad guy twist.
Principal is always the bad guy, even in real life.
Yeah, well, I think that's why I liked it so much, because like, it's like the truth. Everyone's like, oh, the principal's the bad guy, and she really was. One of his favorites to go back and watch gives off the whole MMPR vibe, and that's how you do an MMPR throwback, not like how they're trying to do Samurai. That's the wrong way.
True dat.
True dat, dog.
Quoted for fucking truth.
Kimmy is fucking awesome. Quoted for fucking truth.
It's so true, though.
It is. All right.
Okay. I'm going to read these throats. First, I'm going to read the Fish 813's post because he is my homeboy for his awesome name, because he just knows that he is the 813th fish. So he said, Dino Thunder was his least favorite when he was a kid, but most favorite now. He hated it because he thought it was too kiddish, but he realized it was very adult and kid-orientated. I'm turning into Brian. That it was fantastic. All great characters, original plot, and most had... And most of all of it had the Ob Ranger episode in which a lot of people... Or he loved the Ob Ranger episode in it, which a lot of people hate, but he loves. Sorry. I just had to word that out.
I am awesome. I am stupid. Oh.
I have to agree that it could be really appealing to kids, but also had a lot of, like, throwbacks for the adult fans, mm-hmm. which it did a good job of that. All right, next, I'm going to read Lycanthrope 008, because he pretty much just concedes to the hive mind of RRR and says...
And here's the next one down.
You know what? No.
Lazy bastard.
The next one's on the next page, jerk. All right, the next sound out. No, I'm kidding. Okay. Putting it simple to start, everything you're going to say in the podcast. True words have never been spoken except for Gibby is awesome. So I love the series, the combinations, the characters, and the actors. And then he talks about how Willie J. Coe said was right about the only flaw being Tommy being frozen and being gone and just having terrible luck. Yeah, because he had teenagers experimenting on him medically. But it did make for like a better return, like more dramatic when he was like, yeah, I'm back. I'm Tommy and I really have to pee. Okay, so now I'm going to read Sentai88's posts. So he says he really enjoyed the season. Seeing Tommy back was epic. The Battleizer was okay. The two things he liked were the cannon finisher, and he liked the dragon yo, attack. So he likes the dragon yo, Kevin. That the stretchy arms and legs were silly and not needed. I agree. So the suits were awesome. Once again, a unique morpher for each of the ranger. I like that too when they have that. Zord were awesome. I love the Zord of the season. There was a singular Zord? No, I'm just kidding. It was interesting to see the season with only 5 rangers instead of the usual 6, which actually I never thought about that when we were discussing it. It would be cool to see the Dino Thunder and the Wild Zords together. We could if they did Forever Red Right. Or do Gokaiger. I don't know. I'm just talking about shit now. Nezahualcóyotl was one of his favorite villains, and he was a perfect villain for the season, and the team-up was one of the most epic team-ups and very done well for Disney's first attempt.
It really is. Like,
yeah.
Mezagog is just like the epitome of awesome villain.
It fit the theme so perfect, and it was so such a unique villain. Instead of like, "Bah, I want to destroy the planet. What's your plan after that?" Shut up! To the death chamber.
Like he said, he's all cell tracks, and it's like, "Oh, I'm scared." More
Pop Tarts. He hungers for more Pop Tarts. Can't help it.
I know, right? I guess it's my turn now. I have to read someone's. Okay, let's see. All right, so I didn't actually pick anyone before I started. I'm going to pick someone at random.
Kevin can't do anything we tell him to.
Nope. I'm gonna go with this one. This one looks good. I like your name. It's Nerdgasm. let's see. Nerdgasm says he has positive feelings for this season. By far, one of the better ones, indeed. Like the return of to the dinosaur motif. Doesn't everyone? Oh, wait. I was told by someone that everyone likes dinosaurs, so they can just go burn in a hole. Tommy came back. Remembers it being a big deal. Though he's not sure why so much. It's Tommy.
It's Tommy!
The weapons, gear, suits, and such were all decent. Super Dino Mode and Triassic Power are both pluses. The only real criticism was that with the Battle Hazard felt more tacked on than the others. And all he had to do was get it was to scream. Yeah, pretty much.
He went Super Saiyan, okay?
Swords and arms.
It says, honestly, with having Super Dino and Triassic Mode of Battle Master just seemed like too much. Otherwise, it was a great season. Yeah, pretty much. You already have 2 pretty cool modes. Did you really need a Battleizer? But I guess...
Especially one that was all Go-Go Gadget.
Yeah, it didn't really fit, so...
The power came from inside him. I don't know what I'm saying.
And then, let's see, we're going to go with, I like this one. Did we read Nikozu yet?
Nope.
I wasn't listening. I mean, I was, but I wasn't. Okay, then I'm going to read this, because I like this one. It says, again, one of my favorite seasons, like the suits, especially Drago Ranger. Zords are one of the top 3. Yeah, they are awesome. Now for the characters, Connor was okay, but not one of the favorite Reds. Ethan was a more badass Billy. Yeah. He says, come on, Iron Arms. Not even Sogozo's punchy fist can compare with those. All right, well,
man,
now.
That's a challenge.
We're going to have to test that out.
He's going after the white blaster beetle board.
We're going to have to send that to the RRR lab for testing.
Lab.
There's a lab. It's run by, I don't know, we'll figure it out later. KO, I guess.
Okay.
Or Matt. He needs something to do.
Matt fell asleep in there.
That's why he hasn't put a comics post up in about 3 months. Kira, I liked her a lot. First, she was like emo, like Jedimon now sounds, but hey now. But after a while, I liked her a lot. Easy, one of my favorite yellows. Agreed. Tommy Oliver, I like him. He was badass. Kind of mean that he was stuck for a while in his suit. I know, right? Got in a coma. Fought Red Zeo, White MMPR, and Green MMPR, and then got his Super Dino Mode! I know, right? That was so cool. But I liked him. But too bad he didn't use his camo powers of Dino Gem anymore just once and then no more. Yeah. Well, next, Trent. He likes him. Had the story with the father being Mezogog and the White Diadem giving him that alternate side. But then it became good. The arsenal, like that all five weapons combined. Also, Super Dino Mode was cool. Also, the Triassic Ranger. Well, I don't know why everything's in all caps every few words. Was cool. And the Battleizer was cool. Eh, not so much. Morphigan, I like it come a volcano lava in the background. Who doesn't like that? I especially like Trent's morph. It was a giant block of ice. We're in Antarctica in the background again. Who doesn't like that side characters? Trent's father, interesting. Haley's Tommy's new Kimberly and Kat. Except she did she go Tommy? I don't remember.
Probably once or twice at least.
I think she might have. Thinking about it, Cassidy and Devin's Balkan Skull season 2, I think, because that's when they were trying to find who the Rangers were. Good point. Villains Mezogog. He was creepy as hell. Come on, do you hear how he talks? It is creepy, especially in the end. Wait, in the final battle, is he creepy? Easily in my top 3. come on, he is badass. Not like an injured. Where does a chick in the armor? Wait, what?
What?
I don't know. I think somehow we're talking about Zeltrax, but he didn't write the word Zeltrax. Elsa, she was just there, but she was more at the end. There, evil Dragon Ranger was cool. Have a verse, evil, but he was just there. Now, Pteranodrones and Triptoids. Pteranodrones were creepy. Dino things that can kill you, and Triptoids were the Alva Ranger foot soldiers, but here they're PC monsters. Team up in a funny episode. Team up! I liked it with Lothar coming back and Shane, Tori, and Dustin being tricked to being minions, Blake and Hunter getting their powers back from when they chopped Lothar. The bodyguards being the Alva Ranger villains. Like the team up overall. Favorite episodes where they watch a dubbed episode of Alva Ranger? Come on, who else does not have this as their favorite episode in Dino Thunder? Overall, one of his favorites, gives it a 4 out of 5. As much as I would love to sit here and read the entirety of, like, Kiefer's novel, we don't have that kind of time. So instead, we're going to read VZ's comment. It will not be edited out this time, because this time it will be summarized with my summarizer. Okay.
Hold on. Okay, I activated this. This is the instant. Never mind. Joke failed. I couldn't pretend it. Damn it.
Oh, your joke sucks. Okay, first impression. It was like joke MMPR. Failed. Very interesting plot with the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde like villain. First time with the veteran ranger. Oh, that was Tommy. He liked him getting kidnapped, and they watched the video diary. It's quicker summary than Jedi, Shuki, and Dawson. Screw you. Like the comma episode, he had comma. Adventures with Pokemon. Oh, wait, no, that's the wrong character. He fought himself. That was fun.
That's fun.
He liked the Lost and Found in translation. Let's see. Connor making fun of PR is funny. I don't know what's happening.
Someone playing Infamous?
When he saw Abba Ranger, he was like, Disney, for the sake of Hibiki and Kaoru, what did you do to Abba Ranger? No, he watched Hibiki and Kaoru after Abba Ranger. I don't know why that's important, but it was funny. Let's see. More comments about that one episode. Connor was a D-bag. Only like soccer. Later got more concern. He starts off, I just think about myself and soccer and everything else soccer. Can GEC. But then he becomes, I must worry about my team. I am a ranger. Rangers together, samurai for Owe wrong season. Ethan, genetic geek, but he more likable. I know, right? He did not have any complaints about being a ranger. And Kira, he's biased with just like Tori, because Kira is very hot, but not as hot as Yumi Sugimoto. That is belongs to VZ17. Okay, good for you.
Brian's he likes, grunting.
Likes Kira. The development with Trent is good. Settling things with his father. Oh, that's very nice. Now Tommy. He's Tommy's greatest ranger, but that was about it. He was the wisest, but he did not develop. It was already
developed Tommy anymore.
It was already done because he went from martial artist to a character to a doctor in paleontology. Somehow another mystery, just like why Jason and Mike's hair don't move.
Mike! Who the fuck are you, Mike?
He also had these episodes where he was in the coma and fought himself. We did that already. Easy became triumphant on Comic Dog for a second. That was weird. let's see. Haley was just there to build a bike for Ethan. they got development too. Mesogog. He says Mesogog was a genetic villain, period. Villains don't have periods. He didn't have a concrete purpose to destroy the Earth. He wanted to turn it to a Mesozoic era-like state, but why? I don't know why. I don't either. Elsa was Breek.
Dinosaur.
He cannot recall too much from Zeltrax or the White Dino clone. The morphers were cool with dinosaur heads, and they could be disguised as bracelets so you don't have a bulky morpher on your wrist. I know, right? Also, Tommy's morpher was again shifting to turbo. He says he also likes the Rangers got special powers in civilian form, reminding him of Beetleborgs. So Tommy was the white Blaster Beetleborg. Suit great, helmet great, Super Dynamo look nice. White Dino Ranger was coolest one. Don't know why Triassic was considered different since it's just red with some gold and purple accents. The Battleizer was stupid. No, right?
Why I'm just checking. This is a summary, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Why wasn't it more an upgrade of Triassic with T-Rex legs, Tricera arms, and Terra head like Puto Tira?
He said poo.
Weapons fine. Like the Megazord? Because I don't know. That's really what he wrote. I just don't like Megazords or one Zord, blah, 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 blah. Make up all the whole body and another Zord is a little bit like the Dino Stegazord. He liked the Valkasaurus, liked the theme song, and is a decent season, though it was the last one he saw until RPM. So, see you then. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, that seriously was a summary. I actually skipped, like, a good portion of it. I just kind of skipped over it. So, yeah, no, that was... There was a lot there. But Brian, like, destroyed my thing last time. I don't know which window I just closed.
Destroyed it.
You didn't destroy it. I got rid of it.
PR.
There's a difference.
If you don't do this, you're going to be destroyed.
Brian destroyed me in my face.
Okay. The SPD thread is going up tonight, so as the time of this posting, it will have been up for a couple days now. That's really about it. So posts, enjoy, and...
Leave feedback on the podcast.
The podcast?
That's for the final thingy, so.
Final thingies!
Okay, now
leave comments on the podcast. I mean podcast. Okay.
Make the same joke again.
Again? I did it already. Twice.
Again. No. Never mind. You don't understand.
You need to
don't
be
understand.
I don't understand. Who is James?
Get anything made into a man, Dawson should be made into a man, too.